The following program contains language or images of a frank or sensitive nature that may be considered objectionable by some. Listener discretion is advised.
The man with no personality. A killing spree.
Banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You have got to get your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. An appalling dump heap overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled in tangled up knots. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. You know, given the choice between the two, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You know, as he ate me, Mr. Grinch, with a super nauseous nose. You're a crooked turkey jerky, and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce. You're a mean one, you're a monster, you're a vile one, cause you're a runner, you know the ate me, you're a foul one, you're a snake, and you're a sly one, you're a reaper, you're a serpent, you're a nightmare, you're just a loser! Ah, the three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink! Stank! Stunk!
Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad! Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish ya a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Oh God, is there no end to this song? Somebody stop the song. I'm Betty Davis. Stop the song.
All right. Welcome to Facets. We thought we'd break you in just right tonight. In view of our guests that are going to be here tonight. I'm Judy, and welcome. We have a couple of our wonderful regulars in the house already, but we'll be introducing them in a few minutes. We just played you a few songs. Let's see. We played Disgruntled Christmas from the Island Radio Holiday Sampler. And that wasn't too bad. It was a fun little ditty. And we had Karen and Karen singing the Grinch song. And we wound it up with Jimmy James in his best voice singing Feliz Navidad. All right. So we're going to bring you one more song, and then we're going to start with our leather segment with Robert and Thomas. So here we go, just for the leather segment.
I see you've been feeling down. When I needed you, you've been around. So this year I've a Christmas surprise that will make your spirits rise. I think back on the times when you've always been there for me, and when things seemed unclear, you did the thinking for me. I owe you so much that it's hard to repay you for all the good times. And I won't forget you this year. It's Christmas time for my penis. I know I've let you down when you just needed a hand. When I was uncertain, you showed me that I am a man. I owe you so much that it's hard to repay you for all the good times. And I'm going to give you the joy that you pal. It's Christmas time for my penis. Final highway. New ocean. A hat. Or are you from the side? A monocle. Blow up dog. A lap dance. I owe you so much that it's hard. Christmas time for my penis. I know you've been feeling down, all pent up, it's so hard to breathe. Don't fret this Christmas, you'll get the attention you need. I love you so much that it's hard to repay. Your special holiday, pal. It's Christmas time for my penis.
Flashback. course till summertime. Out to the beach to his boat, could I join him? No, this time it was me, sunburn in the third degree. Now the calendar's just one page, of course I am excited. Tonight's the night I've set my mind, I've been doing too much about it.
Rousing beginning we have this evening. Or something
all,
like that.
It was all Thomas's fault.
It's not Christmas until I hear that song.
Well, ho ho.
Present.
Well, okay. I'm just here for the ride. And it's going to be a bumpy one, is so.
I wasn't going to go that far. I wasn't going to do that cliche.
Okay.
I was going to do my Betty Davis on that one, but yeah. It's already been covered.
There you go. All right. Introduce yourself, guys. We got a...
All right. Well, Robert Helms.
Thomas Blanton.
And our special guest today.
Hello. My name is Ronnie Tanner.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hello, Ronnie.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Ronnie, you're currently the Fire Dancers Pledge.
I am.
So, how's that going for you?
Oh, it's going pretty well. I'm on just about to start month two, so...
How long is your pledge period?
3 months.
Okay. Yeah, and Misfits pledge period?
3 months.
Yeah, and NLA's pledge period is 3 months, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and you got the dog.
Yes, I do.
Tell us about the dog.
His name is Humphrey. He is a little chihuahua that humps you if you push a certain button on him. And
I know where the button is.
I am not allowed to turn it off if someone turns it on.
Oh, joy.
At first, it was very embarrassing whenever he went off, but now you just get used to his adorableness. Oh, no. I don't think that's appropriate.
Well, what's not appropriate, what you can't see is the dog is actually animatronic and it is humping him.
Okay.
Wow, that's a...
Wait, there, okay.
There you go. Thank you. Somebody can turn it off.
Yeah, I know how to turn it off.
Someone else can turn it off, but I cannot turn it off.
I can't wait for next weekend.
This is an awesome rule. I love this rule.
And, of course, like most leather event organizations, I have to keep them safe. I have to keep them on person because lots of organizations love to take other people's mascots and ransom them. So
they do.
That's true. That's true.
That's why he's on lock and chain right now. Yep.
Misfits Taz has been kidnapped several times, if I'm not mistaken.
Most recently, our mascot has been kidnapped by me.
Oh.
I've stolen him from two pledges.
Oh, okay.
Both times I pledged would... You can watch him for a second, right? Of course I can.
Oh, my God. Even I'm not a pledge. I've never been so dumb.
And it's like it's down to a script. I thought I could trust my brothers. That's adorable that you thought that.
Oh, and you joined the Misfits? Mm-hmm. Because the last time I remember Taz getting stolen was at the TCC... LVL campout.
Really?
And Mike Rutherford was pledging,
mm-hmm.
and he took Taz into the bathhouse.
Uh-huh.
And left Taz sitting on the bench while he went to go take a shower.
What?
Oh.
And Adam out of Dallas, who was also there, Boy Adam walked in the door, saw Taz, who and Adam was a good friend of the Misfits. Adam came in and stole Taz.
Oh, wow.
And left a mark on the floor of, I'm not sure what he used to write, I think it was toothpaste or something, that says, I have Taz. yeah, Taz wasn't seen for probably, maybe it was 2 weeks.
Yikes.
Because Adam managed to keep Taz hidden and took him back to Dallas.
Oh, no.
You know, when I was pledging the Misfits, I had a roommate who was pledging the Houston Boys of Leather. And their mascot is Boy Atlas. He's a little Bugs Bunny.
Right.
And we had this elaborate set of rules and, like, peace treaties and all this stuff about we're not going to steal the mascots from each other. You know, if the mascot's in the house, the mascot is safe. And he went to work one day, and I had the day off, and Boy Atlas was just sitting next to his bed. So I tied Boy Atlas to a chair and made a little blindfold and took some pictures. And just sent it to him.
Why does this sound like this should turn out into something like you should be taken to court?
You know, funny you would say that because I sent the pictures to my roommate and he said, haha, very funny. Don't show these to anyone else. And of course, the Misfits were posting them all over Facebook. Look what we got. And so there was. So when I had to take Taz out after that, I kept him tied to me with bondage rope at all times.
So there was a kerfuffle is what you're telling me.
There was. Yeah, I had the entire Boys of Leather like gunning for me, so Taz was strapped to me like you wouldn't believe.
Well, NLA's daddy bear, because we have a large bear, stuffed bear. It's been years since he's been kidnapped, but and I can't remember the pledge who lost him, because I remember when Sushi pledged, Sushi had him basically chained with one of the X harnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Only it was done in chain.
Ooh.
All over her, so he was constantly on her front. Like, she was wearing him like a papoose. So there was no way that he was... people kept coming up to her and I'm going to take him. So she's just sticking out her entire chest going, go ahead, try it.
Hope you're good at lockpicking.
If you want to challenge Sushi, go right ahead.
I made a big inverted pentagram harness for Taz out of rope.
I remember that.
And one of our judges at Glue one year when I was a pledge was like, well, you know, it's not really, you know, it's kind of defeating the purpose if nobody can physically steal him from you. And I was like, you don't understand how angry people are with me right now.
Yes.
It's come down to this.
It's like, I need this dog secure more than I need to live.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time that Humphrey got kidnapped.
Luckily, we've been pretty, you know, we've had a good slew of pledges lately.
Yeah, lately. You still got 2 months to go.
Oh, hey.
Oh, and your partner is a Misfit. Do you have a treaty?
Yes, we have actually. We do have a treaty.
Between him and his partner.
Yes.
Oh, watch it. Yes. Sleep with one eye open.
Well, I originally was going to put him in my little gun safe, but he's just a little too big, so luckily I can just...
A size quick.
A misfit would make it fit.
He has interior electronics, so.
Okay. Yeah, selfie, or station break, station photo.
That was an awkward silence as we were actually taking photos in the booth.
Yeah, he's very photogenic.
Aww. So, all right, starting off topics for tonight. Tom of Finland movie just got released here in Houston yesterday.
Fabulous.
Yes. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Amazing movie. And Ronnie, you haven't seen it yet.
I have not.
Oh God, it's amazing.
Everything about seeing it next weekend, I believe.
Is it still going to be here next weekend?
No, it leaves Friday. Or at least Thursday. Wednesday?
Thursday. I'll actually write that down.
Better hustle.
I will say, Mr. Sober Houston Leather, Douglas Sorensen has a copy of the DVD.
How did he get it?
He was able to get a DVD of it. Apparently, it was for sale already.
Wow.
So I'm sure there is going to be a viewing at some point.
Oh, it'd be worth it. I do want to go see it in the theater again because that was just an amazing experience.
It really was.
I'm glad I didn't wait until it came out and watch it on TV alone, but because then I would have been crying.
I didn't cry.
Until?
The very end. And I wept like a teenage girl at an NSYNC concert.
I was going to go with weeping like a nanny shook you.
I was going to go with open sore, but it...
Ew.
All right. Yay. Bring back flashback memories to to Chaucer's writings.
Yay. Thomas got kicked off the show again. Sad trombone.
You're going to wind up in FCC jail. Kind of like Facebook jail, Tony.
We miss you. Lighting candles, Tony. Hang in there, Twinkle Bear.
God, I hope he's listening right now. We'll know in a moment when your phone goes off with a text.
It won't be going off by messenger, though, will it?
Wait. Oh, my God. I miss Tony so much.
So does most of Facebook right now.
Well, Tony, if you'd stop posting those lurid pictures.
It was art.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that.
We just saw the Tom of Finland movie. That's my thing right now. It's not pornography. It's beautiful.
It's
timeless.
When it's as popular as Tom was, then it's art.
Ah.
Well, Tony is pretty popular.
Yeah, no.
Tony, I have bad news for you.
I mean, all you have to do is have Tony post a picture of him with a wooden spoon and then watch what he gets, what, 1,000 likes and loves.
That was a long-standing joke where one of the misfits, just in a fit of pique, said, you know, Tony, I could post on Facebook that I just cured cancer and I would get 5 likes and you can hold up a spoon and get 1,000. And through a series of events, a spoon actually got involved. And now in the Misfits trophy case and ripcord, there's a wooden spoon just sitting there by itself that all the Misfits are like, oh, so touching. And other people are like, did they just forget that?
This is why you really have to look at trophy cases and start asking questions when you see things. Because what else? In your trophy case at the bar, there's nothing. Most everything is titled what it's there for.
Most, yes.
Okay, so there's no other esoteric items that's in there.
Well, there's one trophy that I don't believe has the full title.
Well, no, I mean, but for instance, a spoon. People looking at it going, what's a spoon doing in there?
Right, yeah. I think the spoon is the only thing right now that doesn't have a... Well, there's one trophy with a pig on top of it that says SOTR. And that came from the Fire Dancers in Dallas have a run every year called Ruby Slipper. And
SOTR.
There are trophies that go every year, like the club that participated the most, the club that came the furthest distance. Last year, I won best cocktail. Which
coming from the sober guy.
The sober guy. I was like,
remember when we used to do things like that for Louis? Oh, hello. Hello.
I remember a certain someone who wore pink who got the SOTR award every year.
Yeah. Well.
Yes. Well, there was a. A couple years ago at Ruby Slipper, there was a misfit who went above and beyond to earn the title of Slut of the Run, and will protect his anonymity because, you know, it's...
Jimmy never thought anything was above and beyond. It's like it was just normal day-to-day life.
I don't want to out somebody for winning a Slut of the Run award when he's trapped in Facebook jail, but I've said too much. And he kept saying, oh, I didn't win it. They wouldn't do that to me. And I just sat next to him with my phone right up next to his face. And he was like, what are you doing? I was like, I want to capture the moment. And somewhere out there is this beautiful picture of him with, like, jaw hitting the ground, his heart breaking.
As he went.
Hunched over in shame.
Well, he's not the only. I mean, well, Chris Brooks, one of your former members.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brooks used to win Sled of the Run at every run that he went to. Love you, Chris.
Well, this past Ruby Slipper, they were giving out all the awards and, you know, this and that. And then they said, and now they called it Most Wicked this year was the name of it. And it was a little tin witch. And they said, and Most Wicked, we had a three-way tie. And everyone turned and looked at three particular misfits. And then you have to call their names. They just kind of got up and slunk up there and got the awards and backed out.
Oh, so it was for those three.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, shall we name names?
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why not?
Because...
I mean, it's, you know, it's permanent record. They got the award.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. And it's only in the archives for 15 days, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so Brandon and Johnny Jr. I mean, like, we all...
We all know the
as
triad.
As soon as I said three-way tie, it's like...
No, yeah. Brandon Johnny, you know. No way, Brandon winning a sled award. No way.
Water is also wet and I'm gay. And other shocking news.
Oh, God, this is like the first show repeat all over again.
No, it won't be.
Well, we actually managed to say Tom of Finland. We didn't actually start talking about the movie.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, let's start talking about the movie. So, Ronnie, you haven't seen it yet, so spoilers.
He'll get over
it. It's wonderful. Got it.
Oh,
much better than Cats. Want to see it again and again.
You said that with too much enthusiasm.
No, I adored the movie. I knew it was going to be a biography, and I think much like the people in the movie itself, I knew nothing about him. You know, okay. Just, I'm obviously very familiar with his art, very familiar with his work. I've got the giant 3-ton Tom of Finland retrospective that is on every gay coffee table in most of North America. But
I have a stack of them on the coffee table.
I thought it was just really profound. It was really remarkable to just.
Yeah, I was afraid it was going to be just art. You know, I mean, it was going to be picture after picture after picture.
Yeah.
And it was like, do I really want to see this? But I was glad that it was so biographical.
Yeah.
And I really wish they'd hit on his military life a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was a very important aspect of his life. In fact, that's where his artwork really got started.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And but I was kind of disappointed at that. But, you know, I've lived with disappointment all my life. It's okay.
Well, you know, for...
Especially when you signed on Robert and Thomas to take over the show.
Yeah. No, that's just foolishness. That's not disappointment.
Well, I will say that the one thing... That movie followed his book, followed the biography, mm-hmm. so well
yeah.
and so closely.
Okay.
I was really impressed by it. I thought the cinematography was great.
That was great. Yeah.
Yes, I'm one of those people. I truly enjoyed it. I'm like you. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of the military.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, if you didn't know anything about him other than his art, then the military was very disjointed to the story.
Yeah.
And it was like he was in, he was out. Okay. Hello. But it was, you know, if you did your homework or know anything about history as opposed to art, then it made sense.
Yes.
But it just wasn't enough of it.
And I thought they handled the flashbacks really well in tying it in and kind of... I felt they did a really good job of kind of using his military career to show why he had so much trouble being emotional later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. But that's, I also see that as a lot of people from that time,
mm-hmm.
they have that emotional disconnect mm-hmm. because they weren't, with people like him, they were not able to come out very straight acting.
Mm-hmm.
Feminine was just not something you did.
Right.
But I was very impressed by the movie. Except I really wanted him to get together and hook up with his commander.
I kind of did, too.
Because I thought the commander was kind of attractive. I don't know why.
You know what I started to say? Yeah, the commander was kind of hot in a Tom of Finland kind of way. Wait. A little too meta. Back up.
And whoever that actor was that was playing that quintessential Tom of Finland character.
Oh, the Kake? That's his name.
Kake? Okay.
K-A-K-E.
Yeah.
Whoever that was, oh my God, spitting image.
Oh,
spitting image of that image of that character.
I wish I could have been in that casting room. they picked a beautiful guy, and it did. I mean, really, just looked like him.
Well, for the first time, when he was sitting on the bed in his bedroom, mm-hmm. and he was sitting on that bed, leaning up against the bed, I almost lost it right there with, oh my God, spank time.
For those who haven't seen the movie and have no idea what we're talking about, and I think fans of Tom of Finland know the idea of, and I hope I'm saying this correct, because there's no way to say it. It's either cake or kake or kake.
Oh, yeah, the name of the character.
Yeah. And they said it several times in the movie, but it was in Finnish, so I was just trying to pick out the syllables. He's just that quintessential leather man in the very traditional biker outfit with the mirror cap. And they used an actor to sort of show that fantasy coming to life. And you kind of got to watch Tom of Finland create him and sort of this invisible muse throughout the film.
Yeah.
And it was just very well done of how they would work him into the scenes.
The whole development of Tom's life for as long as I've been doing my workshops with Vince Andrews on gay leather history versus straight leather history, mm-hmm. Tom of Finland plays a very important role in our workshop. And his real name comes up. We can say his last name, Larkonensson or Larkonensson. Mm-hmm. But that first name.
Was it Tuco?
Tuco. But there's the O-U kind of get extended just for like a millisecond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very tongue twister.
Yeah, it's very Finnish.
I wonder why.
And speaking of Finnish, that's why the movie was so good.
By the way, if you're not used to syllables, if you're not used to subtitles, the movie's going to be a little bit difficult for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think most people nowadays like anime, so I think we're good.
Actually, one of my friends was there at the theater, and he said, if I would have known there was going to be subtitles, I would have thought twice about coming to the movie. I thought, no, bye-bye. You still would have come.
Yeah, Tom
come.
Of Finland.
I don't know. I know a guy who stayed home because of it. And I was glad.
Although, I have to say, I really, when Robert and I went and saw it, for a tiny little theater, there was a lot of people there. Predominantly, it was like the ripcord just as once got up and packed into the theater. And as I described it to friends, it was like full House of Leatherman and then like four really confused art students who weren't really sure what was going on. But like most of the theater was in leather jackets and we're all looking very like, oh, we're here to see our history. And there's
except for me.
Right.
And there's this one, but there's the one scene when they, the curtain scene. With the curtain rings.
Okay, yes.
And I had to giggle because this one thing happens in the movie and there was sort of a beat and then, you know, the 40 leather men all went, aww. And that made me happy.
Yeah, that special moment.
It was a very sweet, tender moment in a very good film.
See, one of the things that I really loved most was the cruising aspect.
Yeah.
And how true they were to cruising. Mm. I was so impressed and so happy with it. Especially one of the things that I still do at the bar and no one ever recognizes. And that's whenever you're smoking, mm-hmm. when you take your cigarette up and you move your cigarette down to your crotch mm-hmm. and you hold it at your crotch. And then if the other person smokes and they're willing to play, then they would do the same thing. Mm. So I do that, but no one understands that. No one catches cruising.
So how would you respond if you're not smoking?
Oh, hand goes down to your hand just goes down to your crotch as well. Just place your hand right there.
I was hoping it would be something more elaborate, like you have to go find a cigarette.
You have to pick one off a butt off the ground.
You have to very, very masculinely and discreetly say, "I will be right back."
You walk away. You lost it. You lost it. Please don't leave. Please don't leave. Come back. Come back, Shane. Come back. Oh, a reference that Judy liked.
What can I say?
That I've, you know, and cruising has been such a lost art. Segue.
Oh, good segue.
Yeah. Cruising segue. Is such a lost art that we have. Because Ronnie and I were talking about this before the show started, that because Ronnie also used to cruise.
And very, only a little bit.
Well, yeah, but you did. Yeah, be proud, be proud.
Hey, I'm a man of the 21st century. We have Grindr now. But...
And therein lies the problem.
Yes. Admittedly, Grindr does make hooking up a little easier and a lot more convenient, because I do remember when I just turned 18 in the military. You know, you go to these old, almost abandoned parks in the middle of the night, and it can be scary sometimes.
Oh, God,
it should be.
It's fun.
You're like, I really don't want to be on the front of the news murdered.
It's a small price to pay.
I have in my own chicken past had a couple moments of, I'm pretty sure I'm about to get murdered, but it's totally going to be worth it.
Well, it's definitely better than going on Craigslist.
Yeah. Well, see, now, me coming out, or when I was coming up, it was, we had three parks back in Beaumont, and I won't give those names
Beaumont,
away
that's
for good reason.
Sin.
Well, yeah, it's not like we had any place else to go. Exactly. Oh, you could have gone to the Copa. Woo! Like, that was a crazy spot. But there were three parks that you could go to. And I frequented all three. It was nothing for me to get in the car about 7 o'clock as soon as the sun went down and drive to one. You do the circuit around and then you drive to the next one, do the circuit, then you drive to the other one until they close at 9 o'clock.
And, and then you just park nearby and you still go to the bar.
Oh, no, no. Once they closed that park down, you did not get in.
Oh,
it was completely fenced off.
Oh.
But it was a large scale park. It was, oh. God, that was great. That was
I
a
guess
fun place.
Was willing to scale fences.
No, 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 no. Because the guy who, there was a horse, training ranch. They rented out horses for pony rides and stuff.
Oh, so they're huge.
Yeah, it was a huge place. He lived there. So if anyone was caught in the park after dark and you weren't one of the RV campers that was there then,
trespassing,
yeah,
cops,
and Pat
jail.
Was not someone that you wanted to mess with, because the man would have pulled a gun out and shot you before he would have said
anything.
You
couldn't have just said you were there for a pony ride.
Oh, you definitely are, but
hi Pat, how straight are you? Love your shoes.
He doesn't need you, he's got his horses.
But I do have fond memories of going to parks. In New Mexico, the parks are often up in oh, by the way, I'm from New Mexico. I was stationed there. You know, they have parks that go up the foothills into the mountains, and it's very nice, you know, to go hiking up there a little bit just to find a little...
Take a rest.
Mm-hmm. You know. So there was no fences, so you can go up, you know, the mountains as late as you want. You know, just to make sure you don't run into a coyote on the way back down.
And coyote being the four-legged animal, right?
Yes.
not the human trafficker.
I did not know that term, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I'm just picturing, like, a random gay guy and a human trafficker. What are you doing here? Nothing? What are you doing here? Nothing? Okay, then.
Or you're better than gay guy. What are you doing here? Nothing. Nothing. Are you sure? Do you want to have a little fun? No. No, no, no. No. Oh, no. No, no, no. No. I've got something else to do.
Why don't we get in the back of your truck and... Oh, God, no, no, no. That's like a back there.
No, that moves into white slavery. Oh, but... God, I used to cruise the parks. There was a truck stop nearby, but... Ooh. My best friend always had great luck at that truck stop. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Scott's listening right now. Scott's in Denver. Scott used to tell me, he would call me up at about 2 o'clock in the morning and he'd say, oh girl, I just got back from the truck stop. And I did this, this, and this. And I'd try going over to the truck stop. Ugh, nothing.
Yes.
I don't know. Either Scott's morals were so low or he just got there at just the right time.
Yeah. Cause truck stops, I never had any luck, but rest stops on highways.
I've had fun at rest stops.
And you know, I was never a park or a rest stop or a truck stop kind of guy.
Really?
Nah.
What'd you do?
Oh, I didn't know anyone was in here. Mind if I watch the movie with you?
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
Yeah,
I did
that too. Was, adult stores in their back rooms?
The arcade.
Well, here's a good one for you, Roddy. Rest areas in gay slang had a nickname.
Oh.
Called Ruth Ann's.
Ruth Ann's?
Ruth Ann's.
Huh.
So, R-A, Ruth Ann, rest area, R-A. So, you would always, if you were talking to a bunch of guys and they said, oh, I think I'm just going to go over to Ruth Ann's tonight. I was like, oh, okay, right, see you there. Tell her I said hi.
Well, you know, when I lived in College Station, there was, briefly, there was one little gay bar. It was in an old warehouse. And
is it only open on Friday, Saturdays night at 10 o'clock at night?
You know, I don't know if it's still around anymore. Okay. This was years and years ago.
Okay, because I was just talking with Master Bob the other day, and he said that's the only bar that's left open. It's only open on Friday and Saturday nights, and it opens at 10 till 2, and then it closes.
Okay. It was in historic downtown Bryan in an old warehouse. It was called Club 202.
Historic downtown Bryan.
That's what we all called it. It's seriously just Bryan, Texas, but everybody, for whatever reason, were like, hey, where are you going? Well, we're going to go down to historic downtown Bryan and make a left. And, but, you know, College Station, Texas A&M in the early 90s, you know, not the greatest show on earth, you know, so we were all we tried to be discreet, but there was lots of, like, what are you doing tonight? I'm just going to go to the club. Oh, I might see you later at the club. This is some random straight girl. Can I go to the club? No.
See, now actually, speaking of Bryan College Station, there was a stop that was near at A&M that always had good luck with. Never got so irritated with howdy so much in my life.
Oh, howdy. No.
Howdy. Freshmen at A&M are required, anytime that they see someone or meet someone, they're supposed to address them as howdy.
Say howdy.
Say howdy.
I remember this well, yes.
Yeah, so nothing like trying to walk it as you're cruising someone and as you're walking the trail and you're passing each other and they say, howdy.
And having attended Texas A&M, it gets drilled into your head and then you just can't stop saying it.
So it's the Texas A&M version of sir and ma'am for the military.
Well, it's pretty much how you identified a freshman. So.
Yeah, you say howdy to everyone.
Well, as you're just walking by, howdy. Freshman, no thank you. No, keep walking. You're 18. Keep moving.
And I have to say, the president of the Houston Boys Leather is Boy Howdy. So when you said, I just get so irritated with Howdy. And I was like,
what did he do?
In the 90s at a rest stop? I'm really confused right now.
Wait, was he even born?
No. I'm so irritated with the idea of this future person. It's ruined this rest stop for me.
He was cruising his dad. Reminds me, I'm going to have to ask him for a picture of his dad.
Just in case.
No, just to mess with him. Show me a picture of your dad. Why? Just show me a picture of your dad. Oh my God, he's so hot. No, don't say that. No.
Actually, just look and be like, yeah, I thought so. And walk up. Leave it at that.
Kind of like how you walk up to someone and give them a hug and whisper in their ear, you smell so nice when you're awake.
Yeah, just like that. I'm going to so say that to somebody. That's a new one.
That's another one I need to send to you. Either that or hugging them, help me. Which I've used on Brandon at the bar one time.
Really?
Well, Brandon was a little inebriated, and I can't leave someone alone when they're inebriated.
Hey, that's really good.
I have to mess with them. I have to teach them a lesson. Mm-hmm. And Brandon will never learn a lesson, so it's fair game. That means I can play with him every time I see him. And I walked up to Brandon, and he's just got that glazed look on his eyes, which is how you can always tell that Brandon's had too much.
Oh, no.
Because he doesn't really slur his words. He just gets really friendly and really happy, but his eyes will glass over. So I walk out on the patio, and I see him immediately from across the patio. That light came shining down strictly on him, kind of like that gamer view. And I walked right up to him and went, oh, Brandon! Gave him this big old hug and whispered, help me! I turned around and then stepped back and said, all right, well, I've got to go inside. Next thing I know, Brandon comes racing after me. Are you okay? What's wrong? Is everything all right? I said, I'm fine. Help me.
Got some X-Files.
And wound up ditching him. I made a lap around the bar with him trying to follow me until I ditched him. I'm standing right around the back and I'm looking around a corner as I watch Brandon come looking through. He's ducking. He's looking through every corner.
part of
it. And I will say, in my Misfit Brothers defense, Brandon is like one of the most loyal, protective, yes, wonderful people in the world.
Yes, see, that's why I did it.
Oh my God. Part of me thinks you're terrible, but the other part of me thinks that's genius. Like, whore, how dare you do that? But good, good on you.
Yeah, you need to hang out with me.
You'll learn so much.
Yes.
I'm not always be deprogrammed later.
I'm not terrible. I'm just drawn that way.
There you go. So you brought up cruising. So what were we going to follow that with? In terms of, is that when we're speaking of the Hanky Code and such things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cruising was a big way. Well, I mean, prior to the Hanky Code, cruising was shown by, let's see, in leather, we did, our cruising was done with the zipper.
Mm-hmm.
So with either the top button, because you wore Levi's, you wore your 501s with no belt. So if you were a top, you unbuttoned the top button.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were a bottom, the bottom button was unbuttoned.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one way to tell. Then there were the keys. So keys were either hanging on the left side or the right side. I'm trying to remember which one meant you were available.
Left meant you had a place. Right meant you were going to a place, didn't it?
No, it was availability. If you wanted to play then, or if you or play later,
it would have been keys on the left for play now. I think.
I can't remember. Vince, if you are awake, please text me. but it was, yeah, the keys were based on availability.
Okay. Because that did later evolve into...
I have a place.
Yeah.
Versus looking for a place.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Prior to that, the Victorians, the gay men, wore a red carnation.
Green carnation.
Green carnation.
Yes.
Really?
That's not even natural.
I don't remember.
I did research on this one time, and it was a green carnation specifically.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And where, Victorian England, Victorian America?
Victorian England.
Wow. Because I always knew about the red carnation.
Maybe it was just a carnation in general, but I know specifically a green carnation had come up in doing some research.
Oh, that's so interesting. I might have to check that one out.
Very difficult to obtain, a green carnation. Mm,
especially in Victorian
ages. That's what made it rare.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you think they would have figured it out pretty quickly.
Oh my God, it matches your eyes. Thank you. Do you like it? It's skinny and sweet. But yeah, that was, I mean, there was, what else was there? There were the pockets. If you had your pockets pulled out,
mm-hmm.
What were the other ones? Let's see, that was through the 50s and 60s and the 70s. The 70s is when the Hanky Code really started being used.
Mm-hmm.
And we started off with some of the most basic colors of red and blue and black and yellow.
Well, if you'll indulge me, our lovely producer Judy found an article. This was, we don't know where it was published. We just know that it was published in 1979. It's called Bangles and Bows, Gay Insignia, What It Means and How to Wear It by John Lorimer. And I was flipping through this earlier, and the especially after just seeing the Tom of Finland movie, the language made me so happy. Today, the gay approach to sex is so direct, it might tactfully be called macho commando. Strike. Get it. Get with it. Get on with it. Move ahead. Why waste time? The slow gay flirtation and moon and swoon of gay bar cruising belong to yesteryear. This is my favorite part. Now, as Toyota has it, you asked for it, you got it. What makes it easier to ask for and get is to accurately interpret gay insignia so that you can point yourself in the right direction. So even before it was called the Hanky Code, I like that term, the gay insignia. Because that makes me feel like we're in a special club.
It's more like military.
Yes. We should always be in a special club. But this actually talks about how it was specifically born out of the leather and denim society or culture. The casualness of leather denim dress styles makes such gay semaphoring the more quickly recognizable because it creates such a perfect background for the little splashettes of kerchief color. It's like Martha Stewart wrote this. Little splashettes of kerchief color. My new drag name is Splashette. The glint of an earring. Or the sassy swing of keys. Thus we have definite clues to the sex preference of someone who interests us. Where the insignia may be worn is the most important clue, no matter whether what's worn is keys, kerchief, earring. Oh, I just managed to catch that word just in time. Other rings.
Thank you.
Or a combination thereof. when you're tizzied up about a sexy number just ahead, a certain understandable confusion may result about the placement of the insignia. If he is wearing it on the left, does that... Okay, that was going into other languages. If he's wearing it on the left, does that mean he's el exigente or el penitente?
I don't know, but you better know that translation before you say it out loud.
Yeah, wait, are you on the first column or second column?
First column.
First column, which paragraph?
Second.
Second. Oh.
Instead of reading the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Instead of reading the whole thing, because I don't want to try to have to, like...
Basically, if he's a top or bottom.
Right.
Okay.
Pitcher or catcher.
And I'll also... We'll post this on our Facebook page as well for...
I almost did, and I thought, they're going to nail me for language, because I have a couple of pictures that went with this.
Oh, okay. but it does get into the color. It's, there are specifically 10 colors what they call the gay spectrum that one should commit to memory just to make sure of getting it on and on with in the right sex slot. The first is red, but in the last few years, red has become a color with two meanings. And see, this one saying red is was originally master-slave. If it was on the left, it was master. If it was on the right, it was slave. With the rising popularity of other activities, red means something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Flashback to last week.
I'm the one who got yelled at last month for saying it too many times. So
hello.
So y'all Google it yourselves. Let's see. Some of the terminology of this, I simply cannot read this on the radio, but. Oh, you guys are going to get kicked out of this. I will definitely put this on our Facebook page. Let's see. Whole another column about the red. You know, they were going to talk about 10 colors, and most of the article is about one. Green is the second color you need a code breaker for. A green kerchief worn in right or left pants pocket has a less hardcore S&M significance, but principally it's a definite B&D, bondage and discipline clue. So if the green is on the left, be sure he wants to... Oh, see, this is saying green is bondage.
green carnation.
There you go. But this is saying that green was bondage and impact play. Left being top, right being bottom. Yeah, and it really just goes into those two colors. That's it.
It looks like the colors got swapped around as time gone on.
Definitely, yeah. It looks like there was a lot of... I mean, there's going to be evolution.
Yeah. Like, I know today, bondage is gray color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bondage is gray, and then when he's talking about flogging and other things, that would probably fall under fuchsia, which is specifically spanking, but I think more impact play in general.
Yeah.
And then green, there's, like, four different greens now.
Yes. I know basic green is prostitution.
That is Kelly green, is escorting. Left being you were looking for an escort, right being you are an escort. Mm-hmm. Hunter green is daddy boy, so left would be a daddy. And actually, when we talked about the Houston Boys leather earlier, they tend to wear a lot of hunter green in just their standard colors or uniform is hunter green. There's lime green, which I can't remember what it means. Several other greens, olive green is military.
Yeah. Lime green is for food sex or sex, not sex with food, but sex and using food at the
splooshing.
Same time. Pardon?
Splooshing, as the kids call it.
Splooshing, yes.
That's where the article came from.
Oh, this came from an article called a magazine called The Athletic Model Guild, founded by Bob Meiser in December 1945. Thank you, Judy, and Wikipedia.
Yay!
Okay, so yeah, we'll get that information on there as well.
And Vince also... thank you, Vince. Vince has also said... let's see, just to go ahead and update this.
We're going to have to hold off on that for just a second.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Back in a minute.
Houston Renewable Energy Group invites you to their monthly solar installation workshop. This workshop addresses all issues related to installation and operation, ideal for those with a technical background or do-it-yourselfers in need of guidance or troubleshooting with their solar installation project. Workshops take place at TXRX Labs, 205 Roberts Street, Houston, Texas 77003, on the last Friday of each month, except for July and December, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, visit eventbrite.com and search Houston Renewable Energy Group or email info@houstonrenewableenergy.org. KPFT Houston. Support community radio and prison reform this holiday season at KPFT Holiday Meet and Greet with End Mass Incarceration Houston. This annual holiday party takes place December 16th from 7 p.m. to 12 a.m. at El Che Cafe, 3100 McKinney Street in Houston's Edo District. Come share in the holiday spirit alongside your favorite staff and volunteers from KPFT and End Mass Incarceration Houston. Enjoy local bands, snacks, and beverages. And if the spirit moves you, feel free to bring a new unwrapped toy to help brighten up Christmas Eve for a local child. KPFT, Houston.
And you're listening to Facets on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
It was Christmas Eve, my friends were all in town.
Okay, technical difficulties here. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was kind of a hinky start, but I did it.
Yay. Yeah, you got it. It was fine. You rock.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm old. Oh, no, a different kind of rock. Okay. Okay, we're back.
We are indeed.
And y'all are going to do double duty for me?
Yep.
Yay.
Well, we were going to start off. Before we get back into cruising, we have some few items for the community calendar.
Well, you might want to mention the songs that we played first, just so we don't forget.
Okay. Well, in this set we played Frosty the Snowman by the Cocteau Twins.
Yay. Yay.
And Dear Santa, Bring Me a Man by the Weather Girls.
Yay.
Which is my new favorite Christmas
anthem. That was definitely fun.
You should see, so we were outside. We stepped outside for a quick break, and Thomas was out there singing along.
Yes, I've noticed there's a lot of gyrations and musical lip sync and so on going over. It's like, that's great, because that means you're enthusiastic.
Absolutely.
All right.
And the Weather Girls, I cannot be non-enthusiastic whenever that song comes out.
You have to, because we love the Weather Girls. Always have.
Always have, always will.
I've never heard of them, but I'm going to look them up.
It's Raining Men?
Oh, that. Okay. Well, I didn't say I'd never heard any of their music. I just didn't hear them.
Every listener just had a collective gay gasp.
I know.
I mean, I don't know music that much, and I know them.
Straight people everywhere just like sat up in bed like, did you feel the pressure change?
Well, I wouldn't even mention it. I never saw the Wizard of Oz, and just carry on without me.
Do you know what the Weather Girls were called before they were called the Weather Girls?
Oh, trivia. Oh, gay trivia.
Gay trivia. 2 tons of fun.
That's right.
Now, see, I can relate.
But it was Martha Wash and...
The other one.
And the other one. Oh, good.
Not Marsha Wash.
Oh, wow.
Marsha Wash and not
Martha Wash. I was hoping you didn't pick that up.
Oh,
okay.
And Effie White was the other one. I just...
Effie White, really?
Just the one that, like, the forgotten one, the forgotten dream girl.
Okay. Now I have this picture of Eddie Murphy coming around the corner. So, community calendar.
Community calendar.
December 10th, we've got Nutcracker Suite, which is going to be hosted by Regina Dane, and that's at Neon Boots, Dance Hall and Saloon. It'll be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. So this will be the Welcome to the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies. There's going to be a lot of fairies out there. For real, though. This year's PWA Holiday Charities annual Christmas show fundraiser will take you on a fairy tale adventure to the Kingdom of Sweets. The fun begins at 5 p.m. with a sweet sampling social to give you a good holiday sugar rush. At 6 p.m., there's always a spectacular show with your sugar and spice hostesses, Anne-Marie Gill and Regina Dane, featuring a vivid array of guest performers. Just like the Nutcracker Ballet that inspired this year's event, the PWA Christmas show is a holiday tradition. Then following that, on December...
I'm gayer for having heard that announcement.
Gayer? It's more gay.
More gay?
More gay is proper. It's proper English.
I'm just a smorgayborg at this point.
On December 12th, we've got the Bayou City Bells Christmas Concert at 7:20 p.m., hosted by Andrew Charles McDermid. That's 7:20, not 7:15, but 7:20. And that'll be at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church at 5308 Buffalo Speedway in Houston, Texas, 77005. The Bayou City Bells, which is a Tone Bells group, are performing the Christmas show. No admission, but there is a donation basket. No admission price, but there is a donation basket. No admission. There's no admission.
Yeah, just stand outside the door and wait. Yeah.
Sorry, Drew. It would be fun to get a group together to attend. Please dress appropriately for a church setting. Bell concerts are a unique way to ring in the holidays. Dress appropriate for a church. Thomas.
You know they don't let me in churches.
That's because they want to save the buildings.
No, that's that unfortunate incident with the chipmunks.
Like holy water boils once and everybody's like, you're the devil, get out.
On December 16th.
Okay, y'all are having too much fun.
Well, that's why we love coming to do the show.
Oh, I forgot.
On December 16th, we've got Under the Mistletoe, a Houston Pride Band concert from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., hosted by the Houston Pride Band, which is going to be at MATCH, the Midtown Arts and Theater Center, Houston, at 3400 Main Street, Houston, Texas, 77002.
Oh, my goodness. I just found out what MATCH stood for. I couldn't have... I couldn't imagine a theater named Match. It's like, oh, really? I'm sorry. I digress.
I'm with you because that's where they just did the Bayou City Men's Chorus just and Turtle. No, the Women's Chorus.
Yes.
Just had their concert there.
Uh-huh. Judy, later I will tell a story that will make you feel so much better.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
So, for Under the Mistletoe, remember to put on your best holiday sweater and meet the Houston Pride Band Under the Mistletoe for their annual holiday concert extravaganza. The holiday spirit will abound as the HPB whisks you through holiday favorites, as well as a few surprises along the way, like boiling holy water.
Surprise!
The concert will... Thomas is here. The concert will feature music of yesterday and today, traditional and contemporary, and leave you awaiting that next opportunity to snag a kiss under the mistletoe. A friend of the band has pledged to give an additional $1,000 if we sell out the house. So for additional information, you can email them at info@HoustonPrideBand.org or visit www.HoustonPrideBand.org. All donations are tax deductible.
Okay. So,
and we will continue the rest of the calendar a little later on.
We will. I'm going to tell a quick story that has nothing to do with leather or anything, just for Judy's benefit.
Go
for
it. Good. Judy's benefit.
Many years ago, this is, and when you hear the names involved, you'll know that it was many, many years ago, I was working for this company. I managed a little team of 20-somethings, and I had a little gay assistant and that I was raising in my image. And we were talking about, like, pop culture references, and somebody said something about Billy Ray Cyrus. And I said, you know, I wonder if Billy Ray Cyrus is ever, like, jealous of the success of his daughters. And somebody said, his daughters? And I said, yeah, his daughters Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana Cyrus. And there was this, like, awkward pause, and my little gay assistant went, I'll handle this. And he set me down and explained, Miley Cyrus plays a character named Hannah Montana on television. And I was like, no, they're sisters. And so he, like, directed me to my computer, and we looked, and I was like, well, I'll be damned if they're not the same person. And
isn't that the premise of the TV show anyway?
Yes, it is.
Hello.
I was like,
wait a minute, all these gay guys know this. I mean, it's like, hello.
Yeah, everybody else is watching the show, and they're like, great show. And I'm like, you never see Miley and Hannah in the same place. Oh, for sisters, they're not very close.
Oh my God! You know what I used to? When I knew about the show, it's one of those premises that I always think, "Oh my God, how could you really not put two and two together?" And now I'm hearing the story from Thomas going, "Oh, there really are people out there that wouldn't get." Okay,
they're called stupid people.
We don't call them stupid.
Oh no,
we don't call them stupid.
Don't call them stupid.
I'm sorry. I'm differently intelligent.
Alternatively intelligent.
How about just gullible?
That works too.
No, that's too easy.
Montana's fans.
It's like if you've ever seen Xanadu the musical, there's a whole thing about when the muse says, you know, I'm going to go to Earth and inspire this artist. And they're like, you know, but you're a muse. And but I'll go in disguise. Well, how will you be disguised? I will speak with an Australian accent.
Yes.
That was me and Hannah Montana.
I love that musical.
That's not Miley Cyrus. Look at her hair.
It's professionally styled.
You just got confused because you don't have hair anymore.
I never really did. It was all an elaborate ruse.
But you did make me feel better, honey.
Well, that's what I'm here for. I'm so happy for that.
Yay. You've done your work.
A little disco. I'm an idiot. Judy's in a great mood.
Well, I'm just sitting here trying to figure out, you know, what he would have done in the Patty Duke days.
Never mind.
Whatever happened to that other one?
You mean Cousin Kathy?
Yeah. You never see her. I guess she went into producing or something. I don't know.
Oh, I knew I loved you, but I didn't know how much.
White slave trade.
We sold off the one who wasn't working out.
It was so much easier than firing her and paying her a severance package.
Oh, mercy. All right. My night is made. I'm easy to please. You know? Not cheap, but, you know, easy to please.
Which is why if you're ever out and you find out that there's a missing misfit, ask about it. Is there a container on a ship heading to Malaysia by any chance?
Oh, God.
Has anybody seen Brandon Nothing?
Last time I saw him, he was cleaning a house and singing songs. But
I had pictures of him cleaning Jimmy's house. It's not pretty.
No, go on Facebook. You'll see the videos that he posts.
Somebody's going to try to sell.
I've seen him.
Somebody's going to try to sell Brandon, and he's going to run out to me and go, "Help me!" And I'm gonna be like, "Oh, I know about this joke. Where's Robert? Where's the camera? Why are they taking Brandon away? We'll miss you."
Oh, I adore Brandon. I really do.
I do. We should have Brandon in one night and just turn him loose and see what happens.
Oh,
wow. We have a delay button.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I'll have to do the super glue on the finger first.
We just had an hour of quiet. What happened? Well, we were talking. We just had to keep it up.
Well, actually, you know what? He's come on for the Misfits for, you know, glue weekend.
Yeah.
Brandon is one of the few who's never slipped on me.
Absolutely. No, Brandon.
Yeah. Well, was Brandon drinking? No. If he was on for promoted glue, he was not.
No.
See, we got to get him liquored up.
Just remind him it's my show. That'll sober him up.
Knowing he's asleep right now, I'm going to have to call him tomorrow and be like, "Let's talk, Brandon."
He's asleep right now? Probably.
Oh, surely not. Oh.
Well, no, the three of them went to go see Tom of Finland tonight.
Oh, that's
Tom
true.
Of Finland, the movie, which is playing downtown Houston.
Yes, it is.
Shameless PSA.
Yeah, I don't, you know, maybe they're probably out
somewhere.
Yeah, they
didn't go to bed. No.
Oh, man.
But at this point, he probably is liquored up, so I'm not going to be like, "Hey, meet me at the studio."
No, we don't need him here right now.
No.
But we were talking about, we were discussing the Hanky Code, and we were...
And cruising.
And you keep saying cruising, and then at one point, when we were in the musical break, we started talking about the actual movie Cruising, which I don't know how many people are still familiar with that film.
It's old.
It's 1980 is when it came out. Stars Al Pacino.
And this is the movie, you know, speaking of the Hanky Code, this is the movie where I learned about the Hanky Code for the first time. For those who are not familiar with it, it's based on a true story of a detective named Steve Burns, who was it Los Angeles or San Francisco?
New York.
New York. I totally misbilocated that. So there was a serial killer targeting men in the leather community in New York in the late 70s. And a straight detective went undercover into the leather community to...
Begrudgingly.
But very begrudgingly. This was before Gay for Pay. They weren't as progressive back then. Robert's trying so hard not to spew Coca-Cola across the production room right now. This detective went undercover, there was a movie based on his story. Took place in the leather community. There was filming in leather bars where there was a lot of just anonymous sex and things going on in the bars, and they told the extras, just do what you would do, and they did. And it was a very controversial movie when it came out. A lot of straight people were up in arms about it, and a lot of gay people were up in arms about it.
It was protested on both sides.
And I think from the gay standpoint, there was sort of a, we don't want this being representative of our community, or representing our entire community.
It was more along the lines of getting, they didn't want, because of what happened in the leather community and being heavily into BDSM and kink, that they didn't want the idea that serial killers are found in the community. Mm. They didn't like that idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
When in reality, they're everywhere.
Really?
Serial killers, I mean, leather people too, but...
But every once in a while, you get the elusive gay leather serial killer. And
let's not start that. Chewing gum under the tables. That's a joke for the next segment.
The joke for the next segment. I was telling Robert earlier, one thing that happened to the detective in real life is that he was undercover, so he was out with his leather buddies, and they were all dolled up. And if I remember correctly, one of them was wearing, like, the makeup of the guy with the star on his face from Kiss.
Yeah, that would be Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley. And a friend of his girlfriend saw him out and about with all these gay leather dudes, and he couldn't break his cover, so he just went through a breakup.
That's commitment.
That is. Yeah. You know, that's commitment to a role.
But what do they teach you about hanky codes in that movie?
There's this wonderful, wonderful scene, one of many wonderful scenes, where Al Pacino has gone into the shop of a leather bar, and they're trying to explain the hanky code system to him, and he doesn't get it. and he gets a yellow hanky and puts it in his right pocket.
Oh, no.
And goes into the bar that night. He's all trying to look tough. And some guy propositions him, and he says, "Oh, I just like to watch." And gets just red to filth in the middle of the bar for doing it wrong.
The guy tells him, "Take that out, well, then take it out of your pocket."
Yes, and storms off and in a Russell Taffet of that one. But that scene is only second to Al Pacino is introduced to amyl nitrate.
Oh, that was a great scene.
Because then he starts dancing.
Yeah, that was actually kind of frightening, his dancing.
If you have never seen Al Pacino dance, then, oh, man.
And we're talking Al Pacino in his heyday. I mean, he was built, great body, oh, yeah. gorgeous man.
Gorgeous man, even with 70s hair. And and there's this scene where somebody just, you know, it was something that was very free and in the open back then of the inhalants. And he gets a little whiff, and then he starts this sort of weird marching...
Stomping
in place. Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of frightening now that you talk about it. I started off going, "Oh, that was so funny," and now I'm just sort of like depressed and sad and scared.
But yeah, that was a great one. But the hanky, when it comes to the hanky code, because it wasn't until, and I've said this before, it wasn't until 1 year, because in New York and San Francisco, the East Coast and the West Coast had several of the colors meant different things. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until IML in the 80s when the guys over at the Gold Coast, which was Charles Renslow's bar, or bar store, leather store, they decided as a joke that they were going to come up and they were going to create the complete hanky code. So they had 20, 30 colors on there. And so the guys were coming in for IML, and they found the list, and they thought, "Oh my God, finally we have a list of all the colors." And people were buying hankies left and right. Well, as people are leaving the store, the guys from the Gold Coast are just sitting there chuckling, going, "Oh my God, I can't believe they bought the joke." And then suddenly it was, "Oh my God, they bought it." So that's how the standardization of the hanky code came out. Huh. And now it's just gone absolutely crazy.
Yeah, there was actually recently The Advocate had an article by Alexander Achevis.
Yes.
Who's a wonderful, wonderful writer and very active in the leather community as well.
In Atlanta.
And it's called the 69 Steps to the Hanky Code. But he covered not just the basics, but a wide variety of them.
Oh, yeah.
And did a tremendous service and took out all the racist ones, which I sincerely appreciate.
He did it all for you.
Yes, yes.
I'm still... The one thing about the hanky coat, I'm still a traditionalist when it comes to the hanky coat, so there's only a few colors for me that I really think I should see in a bar, and that's going to be red, black... blue, dark blue, and light blue, yellow, brown. I do really want the brown as a warning,
yeah.
More than anything.
It's like a Mr. Yuck sticker.
Yeah. Actually, green. Orange is a big one, but green, you had to be careful with green because there were so many different colors for it. If it was, there was Hunter green, there was Kelly green, there's regular green.
Lime green, olive green. There's
Now.
Yeah. And actually, yellow is kind of the same way because there's light yellow, regular yellow, mustard, gold, and a few other little shades in there.
Yeah.
Sounds like they've segregated hanky codes like they've segregated gender.
You know what? I'm honestly expecting to see the hanky cone turn into Pantone colors.
You know, it's kind of getting that way because there's...
Pantone WX7832. Because, oh my God, that's my fetish.
Just put a QR code on there and scan it with your smartphone.
Skew. Hey, baby, what's your skew?
0-5738-2.
Oh, that's hot. Well, you know, some of the colors for me that I think are very... for me, self-explanatory and very obvious. Like my two are gray and fuchsia, you know. Okay. And fuchsia for me is a very, you know, you'd think it's a very can't miss color, but fuchsia is very, very close to magenta, and fuchsia is spanking.
In fact, okay.
And so I flag the fuchsia on the left, and but magenta is armpits.
Oh.
And I bought a little hanky and I wore it with pride, and then I pulled up the Pantone chart and I was like, oh. Ooh.
Put that in a garage sale.
Yeah, that one's that one's going in the garage, just that's a work rag now.
That's when I go to change my oil in my car. like I'd actually do that. Well, I don't like the other colors. I don't like this extended color system. Mm-hmm. Because when you're in a bar, and you have bar lights, if I'm in a bar and the bar has natural white light, then yes, sure, fine, I'll be able to go ahead and tell. But your bars have blue, black, and red lights.
Yeah.
And when you get a yellow hanky under a red light, that does not show as yellow.
Yeah.
So, I think the original spirit of it was very, very efficient, very effective, and in working.
Well, the music was too loud, and it was easier to spot it and get rid of all the chat.
And everybody was wearing Levi's and black leather, and that's all you could tell about each other. But I work at the Montrose Forge, and we do sell all the hankies there, and I get a big kick out of being able to explain the colors to people, and we've mentioned red several times tonight. People do this all the time. They go, what do the colors mean? And I start going through them, and they're like, oh, okay. And then I say, and red is, and they always go, ew. And they, if they're holding the hanky, they suddenly are holding it with two fingers, and then they put it down very gently.
Use it with
and I'm like, it's not contagious. It's like, oh, you touched it. Follow me. but I did have an experience recently where these three little guys came in, little cute little preppy guys, and they were doing the standard ask the questions, and I was... explain all the colors.
I'm a notary.
I have that sign up too. And I do flag notary. I have a hanky with the St. Mark, the flag of Venice on it. St. Mark's the patron saint of notaries, and I flag notary. Hashtag Dom Top Notary. But they were asking about the colors.
He's
and
top.
A girl can dream.
And dream you shall.
I'm dreaming right now. I was explaining the colors to these guys, and the way when people get really confused by the idea of it, I say, this is Grindr before there was Grindr. Mm-hmm. This was Scruff before Scruff. You could walk into the bar and figure out, who you wanted to go talk to based on what colors they were flagging. And these three little guys, bless them, went through all the colors, picked out the ones that represented what they were in, and then, I gave them this little lesson on how to fold it correctly and how to put it in your pocket. And my friend Carlisle was in the store with me, and he was just like, wow, you just offered education, and it was accepted. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And I was like, that's the cool part about working here is that, sometimes you get people who really are curious and genuinely want to learn. And then one of the guys was like, but in a really dark bar, how would you be able to tell that was pink versus orange? And I was like, get out. Get out, you damn tourists. But, because that is the, ultimately the question is, well, that's not mustard at all.
Then you have strobe lights and some have the mist.
My best, my favorite hanky story that I love to tell is I was in, when Bob was still here and he had Blackhawk open and had the store inside the bar in the Ripcord, I was in there. It wasn't Bob. I believe it was Douglas. Mm-hmm. Douglas was working that time. And it was during Gay Pride. So here comes the little queen, the little twink. And he comes bouncing into the bar store. And he goes up and he sees the rainbow hanky. And he said, oh, my God. So what does this mean? Because he'd already been looking at the list. But he was already too tweaked out to really actually read the list. So he's holding up the hanky. He's going, what does this one mean? What does this one mean? What does this one mean? And he gets the rainbow hanky, goes, what does this one mean? And Douglas was telling him the names, because he's holding up the ones that everyone knows. And he holds up the rainbow flag hanky, and Douglas opens up his mouth, and I put my hand up and went, wait, hang on, let me take care of this one. Now, the rainbow hanky is actually Roman showers. Vomit play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I told him, and Douglas was getting ready to tell him, but I said, oh, no, this is for... It's a gay pride hanky, so if you're wearing it in the left, it means you are the parade. And if it's in the right, it means you're looking to join a parade. And he goes, oh my God, I've got to have this.
Oh no.
So he ran over and he bought it. And of course, here's Douglas. Tick, click, click, click. That'll be $3.99.
But doesn't that mean that... Oh.
It means vomit play. So, and he goes ahead and bebops out. And Douglas just looked at me and goes, you are awful. I said, you made a sale, didn't you?
That means he wants to be receiving.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Oh, no.
He deserved it. Once again, evil. Evil.
A little bit evil. I did have sort of a weird discussion with somebody over a purple hanky one time, purple being piercing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy did the, what does this color mean? And I said, that's piercing. He's like, but I'm not into piercing, but purple's my favorite color. And I was like, well, then I will call headquarters immediately and lodge a formal complaint. We'll get this changed for you.
The gay council. The council of elders, as we call them.
Purple now means shy and retiring.
Which, actually, there's a comedian.
Because I was going to say left. It's you are the fainting couch, and right, you're looking to be fainted upon.
Well,
there is a comedian.
Justin Sayer did a remake in one of his many, many numbers. His act is generally he reads out new edicts from the gay council. And he talked about the Hagee Code, where it was no longer with, if it's on the right, you're either a bottom or receiver, and if it's on the left, then you're the top or the giver. But now, if it's on the right, it means that you self-identify with this idea, and on the left, it means you've just been called on it. So Eddie came up with colors that gray, which was bondage, now means boring.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yellow was reserved for commitment phobes.
Teal is a personal favorite. Problem with collectibles.
And if you listen to his number, it's on YouTube. Just look for Justin Sayer, Sayre, and do the Hanky Code. When he gets into the problem with collectibles, there's an entire number set on that one.
And white is now. White is now racist.
White is now racist, except you no longer wear it on your pockets, you wear it on your head.
Pink is ingrained homophobia.
Mustard is drink too much.
Magenta, poor personal hygiene, which actually kind of stays the same, doesn't it?
Armpits, yeah. And lavender is startles easily. Which I don't know why I love that one so much.
I just want to hand those out at the bar. Boo! Here you go. Then we missed out. Yellow is commitment phobic.
Yep.
And cobalt blue is emotionally withholding.
And those are just some of the colors that he mentions in there.
You know, when I go to IML, I'm going to wear a teal hanky. And when people are like, hey, so I'm into, I'm be like, yes, follow me. We'll start with the porcelain.
China play.
And then we'll move on to my Blythe dolls.
Would you like to have dinner with my commemorative Hamilton Mint plate, Mother Teresa plate?
She gets her own setting.
These are my Hummel figurines.
Now we'll move into the Princess Diana wedding room. We're going to be in here a while. Bring water.
Yeah, just we're not getting into a car. That look just suddenly, that look from Ronnie.
I don't have a car. I sold that for more Beanie Babies. Hashtag deal.
Oh.
So that was the Hanky Code. I want to come up with more. I like this called on it.
We did a meet and greet for one of the events, one of the runs that I was on, and part of the meet and greet was they had this giant bag, a grab bag. So everyone who came in and registered, you reached in and you pulled an item out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was adding to the Hanky Code, but whatever item you pulled out, and someone else had one too. So you had to find the person who had it, and then you had to come up with the idea of what it was.
Oh, that's brilliant.
They had the troll dolls,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't come up with something that was blatantly obvious. So, you know, I am a troll, I'm looking for a troll. Can do things like that. I can't remember what the guys came up with for the troll doll. But they had feathers. There was one that was, they came up with a drag queen, it was drag queen names.
Hmm.
That I can't remember. Oh God, it was so long ago when we did this, but it was such a fantastic game to play for an intro and icebreaker for people on a run.
We need to make this happen again somehow.
Make a hanky?
Make a hanky.
Troll dolls.
Yeah, but they were items, just regular items, because the Hanky Code has gone off of just hankies.
Because now you got Ziploc bag for if you're into, if you're looking for drugs.
Party and play.
Ugh.
And there's, let's see, lace doily for tea room trade.
Yeah.
Mosquito netting for outdoors.
Yep.
QP dolls. I don't remember why QP dolls is on the list, but QP dolls is on the list.
God, I wish I could remember. I want to say QP dolls had something to do with going to Coney Island, but that just doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'll do some surreptitious Googling in a second. Teddy bears means you like to cuddle.
Right?
Aw.
Yeah.
Then there was gold lame and silver lame.
Gold lame being bodybuilder?
Yep.
Silver is celebrity, right?
Yeah, star. Yes.
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 Star cuddler.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, that Robert, he's such a star cuddler. I know, right?
I don't know. Dirk Gaber didn't even give me a handshake.
Well, if you weren't such a star snuggler, then maybe he would have...
Oh, God, please, let's not start that. that list has just gone out of control. It really has.
Pretty soon, people won't have to talk at all.
Oh, I cannot wait.
What would our radio people do?
Just, my God, just shut up. Just shut up. Don't talk. Just lay there.
Well, it is important to discuss these codes because, you know, I'm just... Back in the day, you couldn't talk about these things just... All willy-nilly.
Oh, no. That's one of the greatest things about it. As you're walking down the street, you had the mechanics rag. That red mechanics rag was actually for, I was looking for mechanics. Can change my own oil, I think, was the one that they came up with.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
So.
I like that one. And there, I'll post the link, but there is sort of a standardized list online on a website called xmission.com.
There's a lot of them now.
Yeah. This is the one that at the Forge, when somebody comes up with one that we just have no clue, this is our general reference point.
You do have to be careful because recently someone, a bunch of twinks got together and decided that they didn't like the leather hanky code, so they created their own.
The twink code. I have seen that.
Twink code. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's actually a link to the twink code on this page, too, so they do keep it separate. But just when we were talking about the weather girls earlier, apricot is 2 tons of fun.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's listed. But I want to try to find some of the
who is jade a color on there?
What? Jade?
Jade.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite colors. I was wondering what that
is. We've got Kelly green, Hunter green, olive drab, and lime green.
Jade is looking for Chinese knickknacks.
Gray flannel for suit, if you like suits.
That's me. I do.
Oh,
fly
I
gray,
do. I like do, wearing suits.
I fly gray flannel.
Let's see. Black velvet.
Ooh.
Has videos. Black velvet means you've written a ballad to Elvis. On the left. On the right, it means you thought you were going to have a career after that.
Wow.
Let's see.
So many people have that.
Terry cloth is bathhouse.
Yeah. Yep.
And actually, some friends of mine just had a discussion. Houndstooth is biting.
Yep.
Keys in the front has a car or looking for a ride. Keys in the back has a home or needs a place to crash. Cocktail napkin means you're a bartender.
But it never lasts.
Cupid doll, this, we should have figured this one out. On the left, it means you are underaged, and if it's right, it means chicken hawk.
Oh. Okay.
And this one's...
Chicken hawk, someone who's older who likes younger.
Oh.
Because chicken it would be young... Younger men, and a chicken hawk would be somebody who likes the younger men. This one, I don't know how they made this connection, but if you've got a dirty jock strap hanging out of your left pocket, it means you wear dirty jock straps, and if it's on your right pocket, it means you like dirty jock straps. That one, right over my head.
And if it's just stuck to your pants leg, it
so what if you're
you
actually wearing a dirty jock strap?
That doesn't mean that just means you're nasty. Take a bath. That's what the Terry Claus should stand for. Needs a shower.
I just think something like that blatant as like dirty jockstrap, you know, what does that jockstrap means? Oh, it means I like breakfast in bed and long walks on the beach. Oh my God, I
it means
right
my
on
favorite
that.
Author is James Patterson.
What does it mean on the right? It means I don't like it when they make films of his work.
That's hot.
Hey, that'll get my agent. I hate him.
The firm sucked.
Don't even get me started with the Women's Murder Club.
I've been watching Zoo, which was based on his... James, so as soon as you said that, I was like, oh my god, and then never mind, nobody wants to know about my thoughts on that show.
Because you're addicted to it, aren't you?
A little bit. It goes south quick. It's like, it's a fun ride. But like, every season, it's like, 10 years later.
Once the animals have grown up and died, this is their child.
Ironically, yeah, that's kind of it.
Which reminds me, I don't think I ever told you the story. I told this to Crash, Eric and Crash at the bar one night.
Eric and Crash being two of the Misfits.
Yep. Out of Misfit Nights at the Rickport on the third Saturday of the month.
Oh, we'll get there. I have a whole plug ready to go.
But there was a guy that I was talking to, and he had posted on Facebook about how he had met up with a gentleman for the evening, and they decided to go back to his place, and after the deed was done, I mean, literally, immediately after the deed was done, he takes his thumb, and there was bodily fluid around, but he takes his thumb, and he comes up and goes straight up to his forehead with his thumb and wipes it across the forehead and goes, Simba.
No.
Yes.
How do you flag that?
I'm into the circle of life.
Is that a live baboon in your left pocket? That's a...
I'm into my dad getting crushed to death by antelopes in front of my eyes.
Oh my god, that's so hot, me too.
And on the right, it means I like to fly at the bottom of a cliff waiting for rocks and antelopes to come crashing down upon me.
No,
if you were on the right, it means you want two gay dads to raise you, but they will feed you bugs all the time.
That's hot. Oh, yeah. Did you say that's hot?
That's hot. That's what I've been saying this whole time. Oh, yeah,
hey,
that's hot.
Disney's first gay couple.
That's true. That is true. That's very true.
What do you expect me to do? Dress a dragon and wear the hula?
No. Hey, no. Cultural appropriation.
And that's so funny that, like, the protesters now were like, Beauty and the Beast had a gay character. And I was like, you all own the Lion King. You all know the words to Hakuna Matata.
There's the gay couple. There's the gay uncle.
Scar was the...
Disney Hero. Sorry.
His what?
Hero.
Disney has always had, like, their villains have always been a little on the Lavender Line side.
Like Jafar?
Jafar is exactly what I was thinking of.
Why do you think the minister and the Hunchback of Notre Dame was all angry at Esmeralda?
Yeah. Well, he's Catholic, so that's kind of a given.
Yeah, that was for We're all like, looking at the ceiling. I'll take this lightning bolt. He had incense and a thurgible hanging out of his back pocket. Oh, he's Catholic. That's hot.
There you go. There's one. A mitre.
A mitre.
A mitre in my left pocket. I'm looking for a cardinal. In the right pocket, I'm a pope.
That is something I remember somebody reading, like, when The Lion King came out, and somebody had written an article about, like, Disney villains are kind of gay. And they said it's like, they use Scar as an example about how he's, like, kind of always mincing around and frightfully likely to burst into song.
No one does home decorating like Gaston.
Oh.
Every inch of him's covered with hair.
Yeah, if they only would have followed that for the actual remake.
You know, I haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
I've only seen trailers.
It's on Netflix. I'm just saying it. I'm just putting it out there.
Already? Damn. Yeah.
All the right-wing Christian protesters were like, there's a gay character, we're boycotting. And I'm like, she's marrying a buffalo man. I'm uncomfortable with that.
Why do you have to judge?
Because I'm really good at it.
Mr. Social Justice Warrior.
Not a social justice warrior.
Okay. Social justice picker and chooser.
I started to go with social justice warlock, because that sounds like a little more like... I judge you and then mutter over a candle and make everybody nervous.
The damage over time you do is anxiety.
I'm going to I think I'm going to go home and change my little Facebook blurb to social justice warlock.
Oh, that would be nice.
I'll do it right now. That sounds fun. Because for the longest time,
different fantasy classes.
A friend of mine on Facebook had made a post about. He had posted a picture of himself, and he's got on his leather suspenders and a black T-shirt. And Brian's a really gorgeous man. And then he has this giant fur stole on top of it. And he said, "Is this too much? Because I'm going to a party, and I just want to find my friends." Or he said, "I'm having problems trying to locate my friends." And my immediate reply to him was, "Well, have you checked the place where you put your dignity?"
Oh, no.
And then a little later on, someone posted, "I'm going to have shirts made. I will have shirts made with the saying on it." Because someone else posted, "I've always said, scratch a Leatherman, find a sequin."
Oh.
It's us. It is the leather community. Scratch a Leatherman, find a sequin.
I've got sequins in my back left pocket. I don't flag anything. I was just doing some couture earlier, and it's just where I had to store the rest of them.
Looking for a Broadway play. in the chorus line.
On the right, frightfully likely to burst into song.
Oh, Scar.
Did y'all ever notice that Hercules in the Disney Hercules movie was wearing Scar?
Oh, yes.
When he's wearing the Nemean lion and posing.
In that one scene, yes.
He's wearing the skin of Scar.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. These Disney people.
Oh, I wish I had a camera so you guys could have seen the moment Robert's heart broke.
Broke? Nothing. That is amazing.
I'll put that still on the Facebook page. We have the most random Facebook page. It's like the Hanky Code for the 70s. Hercules.
Obviously, they've done. Obviously, for those of you who didn't hear the first episode we did 2 months ago, where we were all over the place.
We still are. We're still having that same conversation.
And honestly, we do actually have a list for what we were going to talk about tonight. We're just there.
We've covered most of
it. Yeah, we're going pretty well. We've almost made it. We are almost done.
No, we got, let's say we did.
Two more. We've got two.
Fire Dance Pledge, Tom of Finland, Cruising, Hanky Code, Scandal.
Oh, yes.
We haven't done Scandal yet. And then the other Scandal that I don't think we're going to get around to.
Yeah.
It was so, like, November.
Gasp.
Well, so 5 minutes ago.
I'm wondering if we need to go ahead and tackle that next subject in the next segment.
Should we play some music? Is that what we're...
Probably.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play some music.
I mean, it's not like he won't be back.
Yeah.
This is true. And the next two songs are... I worked very hard on our holiday playlist, and the next two are two personal favorites.
Oh.
Is this one long? Like more than 4 minutes?
Together?
No, the one.
Oh, no, just one. The one's like maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Oh, and the other one is?
2 or 3 minutes.
Let's do one and see how that goes.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, let me see if I can do this.
Awesome.
I'm not coordinated without my mouse, you know. Okay. Oh, you're going to do it? You're so good to me.
Aw.
For those who can't see, Robert has left the studios in the production booth.
Things. The wife is missing, didn't ask for her permission. I'm wearing her clothes, her silk pantyhose, walking round in women's underwear. In the store there's a teddy with little straps like spaghetti. It holds me so tight, like handcuffs at night, walking around in women's underwear.
In the office there's a guy named Melvin. He pretends that I am Murphy Brown.
He'll say, "Are you ready?" We'll say, "Whoa, man, let's wait until the wife is out of town." Later on, if you wanna, we can dress like Madonna, put on some high shade, and join the parade. Silk pantyhose, walking round in women's
It was Christmas Eve, my friends were all in town. We were singing Christmas carols as the snow was falling down. And I don't know for certain how it happened or who's to blame, but someone at that party ought to be ashamed. Tell me who spiked the eggnog? I know the culprit's here. Who brought the booze to the Christmas party this year? Tell me who spiked the eggnog? It smells like rum in here. Who snuck it in? We're gonna feel it tomorrow, I fear. The first round went down easy, the second one nice and smooth. By the third, my head was spinning around, and that's when I got the clue. So tell me who spiked the eggnog? Come on and show your face. Who brought the sauce? Look out, I'm on the case.
Hey, was it Randy?
With a flask of brandy?
D.R.
He was by the bar.
What about Ron?
He was all alone. Hey, I saw Dan with a bottle in his hand. Tell me who spiked the eggnog? They've all got guilty eyes. Who's got the grog? It's gotta be one of these guys. Chuck and Seggy were sneaking around. Mike looked guilty to me. Tyler's curled up on the couch.
Might have been Wall.
Could have been Wall.
Probably was Wall.
Must have been Wall.
Hey, don't look at me. I just got here.
Tell me who smacked the eggnog. I know the culprit is here. Who's been hiding the hooch at the Christmas party this year? Tell me who smacked the eggnog. Tell me who could it be?
It's pretty good stuff.
Who knows? It could have been me.
You?
Yeah.
Maybe you or someone you know subscribes to one of the great music streaming services out there. It seems pretty easy. You get access to unique music for just a few dollars a month. But did you know you can stream KPFT HD3 on your smartphone for free? Along with Democracy Now! Weekdays at 8, HD3 is your gateway to music discovery and the best news we have to offer. Just use an app like TuneIn Radio to hear a mix of indie, Americana, electronic, soul, blues, and jazz. And when you've had your fill of your great music, on the weekends, HD3 offers you lively talk shows you'll never forget. Stream it online at kpft.org or one of our many radio apps out there available for iOS, Android, and Windows phones. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, kpft.org worldwide.
Hi, this is Arnie Arneson, host of The Attitude, heard wicked early on KPFT 90.1 FM. I originate on a little community radio station, WNHN-FM in Concord, New Hampshire. But like our big brother, KPFT, this definition of community radio ties us together. Quote, "It should be made clear that community radio is not about doing something for the community, but about the community doing something for itself. In other words, owning and controlling its own means of communication." Close quote. I love this definition from AMARC Africa. So, folks, if you care about your community, you can show it by caring for KPFT 90.1 FM. Thanks for making The Attitude with Arnie Arneson part of the KPFT Political Talk. We love sharing the heat and the light.
Big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
And you're listening to Facets on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM. And
good evening, Lloyd Powell on Facets Houston, where we hope to keep you up to date on some of the fun and interesting things to do in and around Houston, including education, fundraising, and the arts. Now, specifically for anyone who appreciates leather, gay male culture, gay history, or erotic male art, the name Tom of Finland should be familiar. Now through December 14th, the AMC Dine-In Houston 8 Theater at Bayou Place is showing the movie entitled Tom of Finland. This movie features the life of Finnish artist Touko Lehkonen, whose talent raised the bar for gay male erotic art in the 1970s to a whole new level. Tuco found early influences in the masculinity of the Finnish military, then later from the beautiful men he met in America. The movie definitely has some silent wow moments and a few reasons to bring a tear, but it also celebrates the triumph of a man who escapes from the unlawful gay existence of Finland and Germany to a newfound freedom in the USA. This is definitely a story of love, courage, perseverance, and leather-clad studs. So put on your leather and go see the show. You will be glad you did. Now, for more information, you can look up the AMC Theater Dine-In 8, or you can go to kinolorber.com. We all know that this is the holiday season, and so many of Houston's live performance theaters feature classic performances as well as new productions. I definitely suggest you check out what is going on at the Houston Ballet, the Houston Grand Opera, the Alley Theater, Music Box Theater, and all of your other favorite large and small performance arts groups. There are also so many things to do outdoors to celebrate the holiday season in Houston. But again, this is Houston. Thursday night and Friday morning were a beautiful reminder of what happens in Houston and how quickly the weather changes. So I say go out and enjoy everything you can as quickly as the weather permits. Here are a few ideas of things you can do for date night with a friend or with your entire family. Of course, Discovery Green presents their annual outdoor ice skating opportunity, simply called ICE, where there will be lots of opportunities to skate with Santa through January 21st. For more information about that, go to discoverygreen.com. And now through January 14th, the Houston Zoo presents Zoo Lights, where hot chocolate, family, and twinkling lights are on your mind as you stroll through over 2 million LED lights on the grounds of the beautiful Houston Zoo. For more information, go to zoolights.houstonzoo.org. Magical Winter Lights Houston is at Greyhound Park, and it's a fantastic lighted display representing holidays and worldwide destinations. Once you enter, you will also discover carnival rides, games, cultural performance, and arts and crafts. For more information about that beautiful celebration, go to magicalwinterlights.com/Houston. If you have time for a Galveston weekend getaway, Moody Gardens is now alive with Christmas. Enjoy the Festival of Lights, ice skating, a beautiful ice display, an Arctic slide, train rides, and so much more through January 7th. For that information about that holiday schedule, go to moodygardens.com. And don't forget that next weekend, Galveston will also host the Santa Hustle. That's a half marathon and a 5K, December 16th and 17th. You will have to get more information about that. For information, go to galveston.com. Of course, another great weekend getaway is in Grapevine, Texas, located just outside of Dallas and minutes from the DFW airport. Grapevine is known as the Christmas capital of Texas. The Grapevine Vintage Railroad transforms into the North Pole Express, and the Gaylord Texan Hotel and Conference Center has a huge lobby that is decorated with 1.5 million lights, 12,000 ornaments, and a 52-foot-tall rotating Christmas tree. There are also giant-sized miniature train towns, a life-size real gingerbread house, and even live performers. Now, if that isn't enough, you'll find 8 lanes of snow tubing and 2 million pounds of beautifully carved ice. You can find out about all this and so much more at GrapevineTexasUSA.com. Now, last weekend, I told you about Blue Water Seafood, and I do hope you have added it to your list of places you have to try for the freshest seafood in town. Earlier this year, First Watch Cafe moved into the Houston area, and there is now one just a few blocks from my home. My favorite meal to eat out is breakfast, and this place is only open for breakfast, brunch, and lunch. Every time we go there, we find something new and surprising, and it's always good. Everything tastes fresh, and they try to keep it light and nutritious with the fact that some breakfast items, you get a simple and fresh light salad. Speaking of keeping it fresh, every quarter, First Watch puts out a new seasonal menu with just a few items, so it's easy to choose and try something new. This morning, it was pork belly, bacon, and grits. Two beautiful poached eggs sitting in the middle of a generous portion of cheddar and Parmesan grits with three slices of perfectly cooked, tender pork belly laying on top, all complemented with a slice of buttered artisan toast and fresh greens tossed in lemon. Now, as if that wasn't enough, we decided to share a cinnamon roll waffle. They totally got this right with one of the lightest Belgian waffles I have ever put on my tongue, drizzled with cream cheese frosting and topped with toasted pecans and cinnamon powdered sugar. Once we added the warm cinnamon syrup, it was cinnamon roll waffle perfection. To find out where your First Watch is, go to firstwatch.com. If your nonprofit organization or group is putting on an amazing event, I would love to know about it. I will do my best to get it in next week's report of Facets Houston. Also, if you'd like a copy of tonight's Facets Houston report, you can email me your request to facetshouston@gmail.com. Until next week, I challenge each of you to eat well, have some fun, don't forget to tell someone you love them, and be well through it all.
All the elves were making toys for the good Gentile girls and the good Gentile boys. When the boss busted in, nearly scared him half to death. Had a rifle in his hands and cheap whiskey on his breath. From his beard to his boots, he was covered with ammo. Like a big, fat, drunk, disgruntled Yuletide Rambo. And he smiled as he said, with a twinkle in his eye, Merry Christmas to all, now you're all gonna die. The night Santa went crazy, the night Saint Nick went insane. Realized he'd been getting the wrong deal. Some finally buster snapped in his brain. Well, the workshop is gone now, he decided to bomb it. Everywhere you'll find pieces of Cupid and Comet. And he tied up his helpers, and he held the elves hostage. And he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage. He got Dancer and Prancer with an old German Luger. And he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger. And he picked up a flamethrower and a barbecue blitzer. And he took a big bite and said it tastes just like chicken. The night Santa went crazy. The night Chris Kringle went nuts. Now you can't hardly walk around the North Pole without stepping in reindeer guts. There's the National Guard and the FBI. There's a van from the Eyewitness News and helicopters circling round in the sky. And the bullets are flying, the body counts rising, and everyone's dying to know who said it was. My. You used to be such a jolly guy.
was his dead. Some guy from the SWAT team blew a hole through his head. Yes, little friend, now that's his brains on the floor. I guess they won't have the fat guy kicking around anymore. But now there's no more presents for the children's enjoyment. And the elves gotta stand in line to file for unemployment. And they say Mrs. Claus, she's on the phone every night with a lawyer negotiating the movie rights. They talk about the night Santa went crazy. The night St. Nicholas flipped, broke his back for some milk and cookies. Sounds to me like he was tired of getting chipped.
Yay.
Hooray, and we're back.
Yes, and we're back. And it was wonderful. I loved it. That had a nice... I didn't actually listen to the words because I trust you. But, I, you know, and that's okay because I'll hear it when I play all this back. Believe it or not, I do listen to the show this week. But, oh, shut up.
Oh, no, I just can't wait. I'd love to see your face as you listen to the song.
Well, I needed to talk to you more than I guess I needed to listen to the song.
But for those who are curious, the last play segment of playlist was...
Weird Al.
Well, it started with Bob Rivers walking around in women's underwear.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it was Straight No Chaser, who spiked the eggnog, mm-hmm. and Weird Al Yankovic, The Night Santa Went Crazy.
Okay. Maybe that's why I didn't listen to it, because I'm having one of those nights.
Oh, we all are.
I know.
It's such good fun.
Never have I felt closer to Santa.
Okay, we're having fun tonight.
We are.
I appreciate that. I like fun shows.
A gay old time, as it were.
A gay old time, yes.
Yeah, well. So, and on that happy note, drama in the leather community.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so.
Oh, wait, let me. Drama in the leather community. Groundbreaking.
Thank you, Miranda Priestley.
In other news, the sky is still blue and...
Water is wet, we're all gay.
Oh, yes.
So, Robert, you're the one with in the know on this one, so...
I feel like I should be anchoring the news station. Breaking news. Oh, that went way back. Back to Morley Safer.
Very few of us knew what you were doing now.
So, on Saturday morning, the L&M, which is the Leather Archives and Museum, which is based in Chicago.
But serving the world.
There you go.
Which, if you don't know the joke, whenever the L&M is doing a presentation, it's an audience response callback, call and response type thing, kind of like church. Thomas, you don't know about that.
What audiences?
He knows enough to stay out of them.
Yes.
It's holy water. It burns.
That was a rough baptism.
So whenever someone mentions the L&M, their whole slogan is based in Chicago, but serving the world. Mm. So if you go to an event like an IML, and because IML and L&M are wrapped up together, the representatives from L&M will always come on stage during IML, and they always respond. They always say that the Leather Archives and Museum, which is based in Chicago, and then the audience responds with, "But serving the world."
And you know, we talked about this before the show, and Robert was like, "Now remember, there's a call and response." And we need to just live stream what goes on in the studio, because Robert said, based in Chicago, and then gestured at me, and I was just staring off into space like, I like chips.
I like turtles.
But not turtle chips. And what, Robert? What? Oh, but serving the world.
So,
well, now I know the cue. So.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And it becomes a private joke because now suddenly you're going to be out of the bar and I'll yell it out from across the LA now, based in Chicago, about serving the world. And people are going to look at you, what just happened? What just happened?
And then like 3 seconds later, serving the world, serving.
I said serving the world. I said serving the world. Sam Roots saw me. Every
secret
saw me.
CIA talk.
It's going to be like Janet and the Muppets, where Kermit will be quiet and then everybody shuts up and I go, but serving the world.
I love Janice. She was my favorite.
She was my favorite Muppet, too.
I loved her. I actually love the movies because she always has those little quiet one-liners in the background.
That's, you know, random side note, but I was in a very ambitious play one time, and it was a parody of Hairspray with an all-sober cast, and it was about Tracy Turnblatt gets sober. And I played...
We'll get back to the LA in a minute.
I promise we will. But I played Penny's mom. I was Mrs. Penny Pinkleton. Was that her last name?
Okay.
But I was the mom. All the mothers were in drag, and it was a bizarre show. Full musical, one person could sing, cast of 30. And
so many of those go around.
Cast of thousands.
Exactly. And there was one scene where we were all we were rehearsing this, and like we're all in jail. We've all been dragged off to jail. And we're all yelling and shouting at each other. And,
Attica.
Yeah, and we're just all arguing, and then Tracy goes, quiet! And we're all supposed to shut up. And I was having a Janice moment. So, and we did not get to, I didn't get to say this in the actual play. We had to tone it down, but, and I won't say anything that bad, but we're all arguing and yelling back and forth, and Tracy goes, quiet! And everybody shuts up, and I went, $2 crack whore of Satan!
Okay, that Robert will not recover from.
Yes, and the director didn't either, actually. I had to say, when we finally went on stage, I had to say harlot of Satan, $2 harlot of Satan. But yeah, that was my Janice moment.
Oh, see, the Janice moment that I would have would be, the last time I saw this much powder, it was on, last time I saw this much white powder, it was on a mirror.
What?
And then my Janice moment, oh, you mean this morning? Yeah, Janice was always one of my favorites.
She is the best puppet. Who was she named after?
Oops.
Janice Joplin.
Okay. See, when it came to the Muppets, wow, we are so far off a leather topic.
Not
necessarily.
Serving the world.
Near.
That one line.
Near.
We try so hard to be on topic until about 2:07, and then it's just all bets are off.
You know what? Y'all only tried till about 12:07. But that's okay.
Yeah, but when it came to the Muppets, the one that I truly identified was Robin.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
Kermit's nephew.
Kermit's little nephew.
Yeah. I always identified with him. But Janice was my favorite.
Yes.
Until the King Prawn came around.
Yes.
What was his name?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, he had the Spanish name. Pepe.
Pepe, yes.
Pepe the Prawn. I am not a shrimp. I am a King Prawn. Oh, God, I need to go back and watch those movies. So, anyway.
You know what's going to happen? I'm going to go to IML, and I'm going to be competing, and I'm going to be all excited, and we're going to be there, and somebody's going to say, based in Chicago, and 2,000 people are going to go, serving the world, and I'm going to go, King Prawn!
You're not going to be able to keep a straight face. God, I wish I was going to be saying
I'm going to have the church giggles.
If I could only go and be there with cue cards, but I'm furiously writing as they're saying things and holding them up so you can see them.
I was telling Robert earlier, my big plan is when there's a segment of International Mr. Leather, part of the competition called Pecks of Personality, where you come on stage in a jockstrap and then like they pitch a funny question to you and you give a witty answer. And my dream is that as I'm walking off stage, a friend of mine, my friend Michael, who hopefully is listening tonight, is going to run up on, he's a big, burly, muscly guy, and he's going to run up on stage and pick me up over his head, and I'm going to turn and in slow motion throw marbles at all the other competitors. And they're going to awkwardly watch the marbles roll up to their feet as he carries me away. You're welcome, Nomi.
That is so extra.
Meta.
Like, I just got voted out of the top 20. And it's 6 months away.
You know, the judges do their research. God, I hope they listen to the show.
Oh, I do too. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to send it to them. Every
you
one
might
of
as
them.
Well just cancel the trip.
And up next for Facts and Personality, Competitor 26. That's enough. You can sit down. We've heard all we need to.
Oh, it would be wonderful if they call you up. So, you do a radio stay. You do a radio show. I do. So, where's your co-host? Back here in the audience. Can he come up on stage? No, really, I can't. Get out of my way. Get out of my way. Crawling over people, getting to the stage, pushing you out of the way.
I thought it'd be fun if we got in a cat fight on stage and we're like, I'm pulling your hair and you're like trying to grab mine and realizing I don't have any. And...
grab his beard.
No, just I'll reach behind him and use his ass hair.
What? It's okay to say hair.
Yeah. Okay.
Clearly he meant the donkey.
Okay, so, yeah, drama and scandal. Let's get back to that.
Drama and scandal. Okay.
Based in Chicago.
But serving the world.
Okay, prime.
Okay, continue.
So, a couple months ago, the LA&M Leather Archives and Museum, based in Chicago, but serving the world, has consistently, their previous executive director, which was Rick Storr, Rick has served as their executive director for the past several years, been a great guy, and his husband, Jeff, who also works there as pretty much the outreach, the director of operations, Rick decided that he was going to go back into the private sector to go to work, so he resigned from the LA&M. Great loss. We really loved Rick. He was wonderful. So they started their search for a new executive director and came up with his husband, Jeff, who, as director of operations, was currently working there, Lissa Swindell, who was the volunteer, she was a volunteer and guest curator, and Gary Wasman, who had previously worked for the libraries in Seattle, Omaha, New York, and the University of Alabama. So those are the three finalists that they came up with. And this, they recently put out, this past Saturday, they put out their PSAs that they had, the board had recommended Gary Wasden to become the new executive director. Well, this has just upset a lot of people about that. Because, first of all, you've got two different categories of people who are upset about this. First of all, the fact that Gary was not part of the museum like Jeff and Alyssa had been.
He had been part of the staff for a...
Yeah. And if you do... And one of the other things people were screaming about, especially on Facebook, like they do, was that he had no ties to the leather... Gary had no ties to the leather community. Which is incorrect. Gary was actually very involved to a certain point because of his job in the private sector. Mm-hmm. He couldn't be very out in leather because it would affect him. He had moved from three jobs in 3 years, which when it comes to the library, which is where he worked for the various libraries in these cities, when it comes to library administration and library work, you go where the jobs are. You go where the money is. And... a lot of people don't seem to understand that particular sector of employment.
Yeah.
So they're saying that because he's been working in three different jobs in 3 years, this makes him completely unqualified, and it's a big red flag because he's job hopping. Not when you look at that at that job sector. It's not job hopping. The fact that he also was in, or he is involved in the leather community, he just is not as out as everyone else is.
Mm-hmm.
But because no one had done any of their due diligence and check on it, they automatically said he has absolutely no ties to the leather community. Yes, he does.
Yeah, and, you only parrot what you hear online nowadays. You don't do your own individual research.
Well, one of the other things that people have been screaming about has been that he just worked for the library. He doesn't know anything of what to do for a museum. I disagree with that majorly. There's a former misfit, Billy, mm-hmm. who got his degree in library sciences.
Yeah.
they will tell you that it's not only, and Gary's, because I contacted some people, and some, actually the L&M board chair contacted me privately.
Serving the world.
But they contacted me privately because of some questions and concerns that I had raised on one of these posts on Facebook, because I did that being pragmatic and not actually jumping to conclusions like a lot of other people did. And I got his background. When you do a Google search for Gary, one of the articles that comes up is how he had to resign from one of his job at the library in Seattle. And one of the newspapers in Seattle posts, like the media does, because they specifically direct people to think a specific way. Mm-hmm. They listed that he left the job because of a violation of the code of conduct. Well, if you look at the library's code of conduct, there's about 20 things, because I checked it. I went to the library and I checked their code of conduct. Dear. Mm-hmm. I told you I do my due diligence.
I'm sure that was a fun day.
it took a whole minute. Ooh, so difficult to do. And it ranges everything from excessive tardiness all the way down to severe issues like sexual harassment. Well, the newspaper article states that they did not list the reason why he left other than it was a violation of the code of conduct. But the code of conduct lists excessive tardiness, inappropriate behavior, and sexual harassment. So immediately people are now saying that he was dismissed because of sexual harassment.
Oh, my God.
Because that was one of 22, you said?
20. Actually, there were three examples. There were three examples that the article gave out of 20 listed in the code of conduct.
And wasn't one of them chewing gum?
No, that was an example that I told you at dinner. Yeah, okay. No, it could have been something as simple as chewing gum under the table.
Yeah.
Because in my head...
Because in many jobs, you have your giant list of codes of conduct. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. In my job, there's like 50. It goes anything from, you know, being late all the time to the asinine messing up your timesheet, which is automatic firing in my case.
I've been fired for code of conduct violations, and I've never sexually asked anyone.
Yeah, it's like, it could be something as simple as... you come in late without telling your supervision, or it could be as bad as raping someone on the job. But
yeah, I mean, well, that's go to jail things.
that got dark.
Right. And sometimes, you know, people like my employer, you know, if you do get arrested, you get the axe instantly.
There's a lot of people, if you get arrested, you get the axe, unless you work for the government and you work for a certain orange-haired person.
Carrot top.
In which case, then you wind up with a nomination to a Senate position.
No, that's only in Kentucky.
Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. Oh, damn.
But in my head, the archive is currently covered in chewing gum, and nobody can find Gary because he's late all the time. Who's going to clean this up? We haven't seen him. He comes in 30 minutes late every day. What have we done?
Although another thing you mentioned, and I'm a little confused by, is like people are like, working for a library is nothing like a museum. It's like a library is like a museum of books. They promote thinking.
The problem is a majority of people think of librarians as, oh, these are the people that you walk up to the desk and you hand them a book and they get your card and then they stamp a card and then they put it back in the book and then you walk out the door.
Those are the librarian attendants.
Well, that's everyone who works in a library, but there's other jobs that you do in a library.
Yeah.
The bookkeepers, you have the business aspect.
And there is archiving. There is some archiving. Absolutely. That's done there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not saying that the man doesn't have experience, but one of the other issues, well, with this article that was written, and everyone suddenly starts jumping it, and I came in, I said, wait, where in this article does it say that he sexually harassed someone? And the responses back to me were, it's in the article, just read the article. And I said, I've read the article. I'm looking at the article right now. I don't see anything about him sexually harassing. Where did you find this? And then they post the link of the article that I'm reading and said, it's right there. I said, point out which section. Take a screenshot and highlight it or put a circle around it.
Mm-hmm.
And never heard responses back because it's not in there.
They finally realized, oh, crap.
Well, I finally found out why the guy lost his job. And I don't feel it's my place to be able to say what's on. But he lost his job because of his lifestyle.
Oh. Even in Seattle?
In Seattle.
I thought Seattle was so accepting.
Oh, well, library, immediately people go with children.
That's true.
So, they're still...
Yeah. It's a protect the child kind of thing.
Just because you're gay, you automatically are.
I think there was more than it's. Jeez. Anytime that you're going to be in kind of a executive or administrative role that has any kind of publicity to it, anything from one's past or from one's personal life, should it come forward, is going to have an impact.
Exactly. And because of this, they made the decision. They requested his resignation, and he agreed because of it. And it was, he did not resign in shame, but he did resign. He resigned from the job. Now, people are still jumping all over him about this. Now, that's one group that's screaming and yelling. Then there's the other group who is yelling that, once again, it is the LA&M and the cis white males who are continuing to control the leather community, that it is always and always has been and always will be a completely white male dominated field, when they should have hired Alyssa, who Alyssa happens to be African American. And since Alyssa was a volunteer and a curator there, they feel that she should have had the job. Well, nothing I've been able to find as of yet. I have not been able to find Alyssa's qualifications. So I can't compare her to anyone else. I can't say that she is more qualified than Gary, she's more qualified than Jeff, because I don't know. She may have a library degree. She may have a PhD for all I know, but I have not been able to find anything. So I have an issue with people saying that she deserves this job because she's female and she's a person of color.
Yeah, solely to fill a box, yeah.
And there's so many people who are jumping all over this and yelling and screaming, and I, being the pragmatist that I am, I need more information.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't jump off the handle like everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset that Jeff didn't take it, because in my mind, I think Jeff should do it, because for as long as his husband Rick was executive director and Jeff was working there, Jeff knows just about everything.
Yeah.
But the position requires to be able to write grants. So many people who are getting on Facebook and being the social justice warrior, mm-hmm. and they're screaming about how, well, the it's run by donations.
But
do you
still
think your $2 donation in the tip jar keeps their lights on for a month?
Yeah,
you need grants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it takes.
Those require long, lengthy, detailed requests and legalese.
I know Jeff can do it. It wouldn't surprise me if Gary Waspin can do it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if Alyssa could do it.
Yeah.
She's worked there. She's been a volunteer.
Absolutely.
I'm sure all three of them could do it.
Usually if you're a grant writer, you have it all over your resume, because they are so sought after.
Yes.
It is hard to find a good grant writer.
I know
that a lot of universities, they hire their own grant writers, because they're like scientists.
Oh, yeah.
Can't write
a lot of
their
museums.
Own for grants.
Yeah, a lot of museums hire.
It's so it has to be detailed. It has to be
Well, and a good grant writer can write their salary into the grant, and that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you really have to know what you're doing. There's just certain phrases on, no matter what the grant is for, there's certain phrases they look for.
Yeah,
and not just anybody can do it, because they're a good volunteer or a good employee.
Mm-hmm.
In a situation like this, though, and this is probably more rhetorical than anything else, so I don't think we're going to solve it like right here and now.
No.
But I wonder, I mean, granted, we are in a very reactionary culture right now,
mm-hmm.
and we are in a culture where people believe things that the media, that various focused medias mediums tell them to think. But as a subculture, I don't know. Sometimes I feel, and maybe I'm requesting too much of my people, but I feel like we should be more aware of that, if that makes sense, or more, because I just, there have been issues over the past year that I got really involved in, and in very similar to what you're talking about, though, where something happened, a lot of people reacted, and I was over here saying, well, actually, if you read the whole article and not just the headline,
mm-hmm.
the headline sounds awful, but the article makes it very clear what's actually going on.
And headlines are designed to be awful.
Absolutely.
Clickbait.
Yeah, get your attention.
It is clickbait.
Yeah.
But there was the
keyword.
and I promise I won't start yelling or pounding on things, but
like you did that one night at the store when we were talking and I had to leave.
Oh, yes. That's like every night I'm in this store. And another thing I hate about everyone.
It's magenta. Oh, God.
Stop sniffing. It's fuchsia. But the over the summer, I think it was the summer or early fall with the big pride flag controversy.
Oh, yeah. Where that you and I do not agree on.
The brown and black.
Yes, but here's the thing. It's a lot of people were coming out saying they've changed the pride flag, and my response was, well, no, this is a version of the pride flag, but it's like we didn't take a vote.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like we as a people decided that the flag was altered. This one office in Philadelphia created their version of the pride flag.
Yeah.
Which they will be using from now on for their events.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's fine. And if it catches on, fine. If it doesn't catch on, fine. But it's just a variant of a flag that has any number of variants anyway.
Yeah.
And whether or not people agree with the flag itself, you know, it nothing was permanently altered. You know, it was not that this one iconic thing was not irrevocably changed into something else. And
yeah, and I disagree with that.
But there was nothing that said you had to use it.
Yeah.
And I got into some very heated arguments with people. And I'm usually, when it comes to Facebook, people are like, we feel strongly about something. And I'm like, here's a video of a drunk cat. You know, that's about my level of concern and care on Facebook.
Yeah.
But what was driving me up the wall about that particular issue, kind of like how this one is driving you up the wall, is that there were so many readily accessible facts about the situation.
Yes.
And it's the people who were arguing the strongest against the flag. It was, and you know, I told somebody, you know, the pride flag itself, like the original rainbow flag is still the original rainbow flag. This is a variation of it. Like there are these other variations of it. And somebody said, oh no, it's been changed. And I said, by who? It's been changed. Well, we didn't take a vote and forget to call you. No, it's changed.
Well, actually, the flag that we use is a variation of the original. Hello, I like the original.
Because the original had a hot pink,
had
eight, right, as well.
Had hot pink and turquoise. Colors.
Yes.
Turquoise.
But, yeah. Oh, pretentious.
Yes. It's French.
The epitome of pretentious.
You know, but things do evolve, and people do, you know, take a very iconic thing, and it you know, it mutates. People do different things with it. And, you know, I've got a...
But you change the meaning of it. That's different.
But, you know, they did offer a different meaning of that version. But, you know, I've got a version of the leather flag on my refrigerator that's not sanctioned or recognized, but it's a design that I like, you know, and it means something to me. Huh?
Does it have the star on it?
No.
No, it doesn't?
It's the leather flag colors, but with the BDSM Driscoll in the middle of it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's just a cool little thing that I like. But it's, I just described BDSM as a cool little thing that I like. when I'm not busy with needlepoint,
it's a troll doll.
Oh, God.
This is my leather My Little Pony doll.
Is that a knitting needle in your back pocket?
I'm just happy to see you.
But no, I just, with some of these issues, and I don't know, because so many people outside of the LGBTQ community, even today, have preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. One thing that, you know, going back to what we started with the Tom of Finland movie, there was a... And I thought they handled it very well, and it was very touching without getting too involved in everything that was going on. But, you know, saying they're blaming our people for this. You know, as the AIDS crisis was first hitting, and you know, somebody calling Tom and saying, you know, they're blaming us and they're blaming you, and that's not the reality of how things happened, but that was the outside perception. And today we still have people with this outside perception of what our community and our culture is. Mm-hmm. And so within our culture, when we're reactionary and when we all jump on a bandwagon and don't want to look deeper, it's like, I feel like we should be a little more involved than that.
Yeah.
You know.
We should, but unfortunately, people now have become so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Defensive?
Suckered.
Oh, okay.
Into clickbait, the way that the way that media is written. And media writes, yes, we do have right and left, we have liberal and conservative media.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, bias in there.
It very much so. There's always bias. We do not have an unbiased news source any longer. Mm-hmm. You have certain ones that are less biased than another. However,
for some reason I heard that wrong. I thought you said there are some that are lesbian.
Less biased.
And I was like, is on our Max Tone publication? That was an amazing magazine.
LNN. Lesbian News Network.
But serving the world.
And we'd like to introduce our new intern, Steven. Get out, you oppressor!
But yeah.
Because of the way that the media is written and the way that people read, people no longer take a moment mm-hmm. to actually listen and even look further. I wasn't on the search committee of the LNN. Mm-hmm. I don't know the qualifications of all three of them. I know Jeff personally, mm-hmm. and I like Jeff. So if it were to come to a popularity contest, like who's going to be class president, Jeff all the way. Because Jeff said that he'd buy us cookies. I don't know Alyssa, and I don't know Gary. So if I had the opportunity to see their qualifications and see their resumes mm-hmm. and see mm-hmm. the application that they put forth, then I would make them just, I would go from that point. Yeah. But however, I am not one of those people who deals with, when it comes to hiring for a job, color is not an issue to me. Gender is not an issue to me. Mm-hmm. I want to see who is qualified to do the job, who can do the job. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's certain weight that would be put to one over the other. Now, if it came up that Alyssa had grant writing experience,
yeah,
but she only had a bachelor's degree, meanwhile the other two had masters or PhDs, mm-hmm. but their masters and PhDs were in other areas, but she had the grant writing. Oh, she's getting the job in a second mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because I, like you said, I do know what's required for running a library or a museum. Yeah. I did a semester of post baccalaureate in museum administration, so. It would just make sense. But the way that people are attacking the LNN, that they've lost my support and I'm not supporting them ever again, mm-hmm. it upsets me how the community has come after them.
Yeah.
And one section, they're going after him because he's white male and they didn't choose a person of color, a female person of color. They should have chosen a female person of color. Well, what if Alyssa has no qualifications to do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, that is my own specific take on this situation because of personal experience of hopefully this ties in. It makes sense in my head, as so many things do. And then they come out of my mouth and everybody stares at me blankly for 5 minutes. But I interviewed for a position with a nonprofit arts organization in town. And they needed, during the interview, they said, well, you know, part of this position is organizing an auction every year. And I said, well, actually, I just organized an auction that raised $7,500, silent auction. And they were like, oh, okay. Well, you know, part of it is, you know, part of the job is that we have to deal with an HOA because we're in a building that has, and I was like, well, I work for a property management company and I officiate HOA meetings all the time.
You sound perfect for this so far.
They needed something notarized, and I notarized it during the interview. Yay. I had my travel stamp and went, you know, oh, click, right here. And I didn't get the job.
What?
Because unlike the candidate who got the position, I didn't have a master's degree in nonprofits art management.
Wow.
That's very
specific. I know. I was like, she made that up. I was like, but that's the thing. I had all these great skills and I had these applicable skills, but I didn't have the education and specific experience that was right for the position.
Yeah. You got,
you know, so when it comes down to something like that, it's, you know, I get that, you know, but I also had that one really specific experience that makes me a lot more sympathetic.
Yeah.
That is one thing I really don't get. Like, these people should get their jobs solely that they're black and or they're, you know,
a person of color.
Yeah, person of color.
Well, it's never been that somebody should get a job specifically because of their race or orientation or anything else. It's that
for so long and into today, people do not get jobs because of those things.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes hard to because I know that having experienced discrimination because of my sexual orientation, there are times when I haven't actually been discriminated against, but I'm so used to it that that's where my brain immediately goes.
Yeah, true.
We want to be a society where none of this makes a difference.
Yeah, like...
And you want to base it off of qualifications more than anything.
And that's why I was a little upset over Gary's story about losing his job in Seattle. It's like, I once, one day, that being gay is as inconsequential as being a Scorpio or a Virgo.
A Scorpio? You monster.
Yeah, we eat babies for a living. What about it?
Well, you should be doing that out of love for it, not because you're getting paid.
I was hungry.
Money-grubbing baby.
I was young. I needed the money.
But no, that's the thing, is that, and that's... privilege is a topic for another day, but that's, you know, that that's, you know, so when the playing field is level in that respect, when you take out race as an issue and sexuality as an issue and gender as an issue, then the people on the other side of that suddenly feel that we're being granted special rights.
Yes, true.
Because they've never had their rights questioned, so giving somebody equal rights feels like they're getting special privileges.
Yeah.
Well, officially... the LNM will make their official decision tomorrow, and by Monday we should know exactly what's going on. But Gary is being recommended by the board, and at this point he's probably going to get the job. However, we don't know. There could just be a major. This could be a Miss Columbia tomorrow.
I wasn't supposed to say anything. It's me. You know, I did work in a library once, and that notary thing pushed me over the edge. So yeah, it's going to be me serving the world. Stamp in hand.
Notarized.
Stamp in hand and fuchsia hanky in the other.
Just you, stamp in hand, serving the world.
With my paddle with the notary seal on it. Which I should post that picture one day.
Well, I believe we have reached the end of our monthly segment or our monthly show.
Or Judy's patience, one or the other.
No. No, you don't push my patience because... I control the buttons.
Oh.
You know.
I push her buttons, she pushes mine right back.
Hello. Yeah. And guess who wins that argument?
So, you know, she can always get the...
And, you know, Robert, nobody saw that. They just thought we went on dead air for 5 seconds.
And there's nothing worse than pantomime on radio. Or lip syncing. Like, no,
tonight's show will be presented entirely in interpretive dance.
Another thing for Pecks of Personality. So you do a radio show. Yes, I lip sync it. It's amazing.
Oh, well, it could be worse.
And next month it will be.
I have no doubt.
We have not let you down yet.
It doesn't matter how worse it gets. It matters how clean it stays.
There you go.
See, I'm easy. I'm not cheap, but I'm easy. You know, don't go there.
I got cheap covered for you. Don't even worry
there
about it.
There you go.
Well, we're going to be back on the 14th.
On the 13th.
January 13th? 14th.
Saturday the 13th and Sunday the 14th.
Okay, the 13th.
Okay, 13th.
They call this a Saturday night show.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's so Saturday night till you go to bed.
Well, we'll be back on January 13th with another special guest.
Okay.
As yet to be determined.
Shut up. We have to...
Okay. Leave them guessing.
Leave them guessing.
Our special guest props to Thomas's joke. So it's a notary stamp, some marbles, and a Cupid doll.
You know, you could cut the
just
mics at any time.
Just leave that Cupid doll. No, I mean, come on. Well, now you've got an extra minute because I'm going to have to change my closing. So...
Oh, okay.
You know.
Oh.
Another meeting, so you can say goodnight, children.
Manamana. Da-da-da-da.
Ronnie, thank you for being our very special guest.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fire dancers represent.
Yeah. Just,
we all made like a weird fire dancer gang sign again with the interpretive dance on the radio.
Oh, those spirit fingers.
Chest hands for days. And Robert, it was a pleasure working with you as always.
Oh, it was great having you again.
On the radio.
On the radio.
Yes.
Danny, I promise. It's not what
he
it's
did ask
like.
For a call out. Danny, we're thinking of you.
Yes. And your Bumble.
And my...
Okay.
We'll leave that as a cliffhanger.
Think Rudolph.
He's got a wonderful Bumble.
Okay. He's got a stuffed Bumble from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh,
my boyfriend, Bill Burr lies.
My boyfriend is sick at home with his Bumble doll.
Your what? What did you call him?
Bumble doll.
No, what did you call Danny?
Boyfriend. We've been boyfriend forever.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so proud of you.
He actually lives in Dallas, and last time he was in town, we slept for like 18 hours, and then we woke up at 8, and then we went and slept some more, because we've been dating for 6 months, but apparently we've been married for 15 years.
I see.
Makes sense.
And on that, we're going to shut it down. All right. This is my special Christmas song that we always play. So.
Wonderful.
Good night, guys. Y'all were wonderful.
As were you. Good night.
Time has come, ladies.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either.
It's over.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
It's time to change.
What are we going to do?
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to exercise my option. Hey, maybe I'll dye my hair.
There you go, girl.
Maybe I'll move somewhere. Maybe I'll get a car.
Maybe I'll drive so far they'll all lose track.
Maybe I'll sleep real late.
That sounds good.
All right.
Me? Maybe I'll lose some weight.
Maybe I'll clear the junk.
Maybe I'll just get drunk on apple wine.
Me, I'll be just
fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through. Tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. Fine and dandy, Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down.
Oh, child, yeah, I'm going to pack up my pussycat wig and get on out of here, honey.
That's some good ideas,
it's
though.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
Well, I really don't know what I'm going to do.
You'll figure it out, girl. We'll help you.
Hey, listen, you've always landed on your feet.
This is true.
Well, me?
But I've been lying on my back.
Hey, maybe I'll learn to sew.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Right?
Me? Maybe I'll just lie low.
Maybe I'll hit the bars.
Yeah. Maybe I'll count the stars until the dawn.
Yeah, girl.
Me, I will go on.
Hey, maybe I'll settle down.
Oh,
what do you think?
All right, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I'll just leave town.
Maybe I'll have some fun.
And maybe I'll meet someone and make them mine.
Oh, yeah.
Me, I'll be just
fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas.
Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. Fine and dandy, Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down.
Hey, listen, I'll give you $20 for that red dress you have.
Oh, please. I don't have any use for it anymore. You can be an elf. Where can I wear it?
Right. Hey, I've got some stuff that I can let you have.
I'd love it. Does it have a G-string?
I think we can work that out.
I think so, too.
Well, ladies, final touches?
I just can't believe it.
Group hug? I don't know.
No. I'm devastated.
You're devastated?
Yes, I am.
Well, we will see each other again. This is not the end of us.
Don't leave me.
Don't leave me.
Love is forever.
Last days of this year, and KPFT is asking you to visit kpft.org now to share a year-end gift. No long pledge drives or pushy requests. We're just asking you to remember your donation allows us to explore the world and the people who live in it in ways we never could before. Your support creates a place for the best independent music, arts, and news around. You make our digital offerings like KPFT On Demand possible, showing the world how great our city is. Please make a special year-end gift now or join our Sustainers program with ongoing monthly gifts on your credit card or from your bank account. Visit us online at kpft.org. Your support during this month will ensure a happy new year for you and the rest of our community. Again, just visit kpft.org to donate. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Remington College Webster Campus invites you to participate in its Three Lives Blood Drive, December 20th from 8:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Remington College created the Three Lives campaign to recruit new minority blood donors and raise awareness of blood disorders. Minority donors, particularly African American donors, are in high demand because they provide blood with unique antigens that are vital for patients with sickle cell disease and other blood disorders. Remington College Webster Campus is located at 20985 Gulf Freeway in Webster, Texas. For more information, visit threelives.com.